Your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles roll into the second big week of our homestand welcoming the Bradenton Marauders to Hammond Stadium. We'll have all your favorite nights, Two for Tuesday, Dollar Dog Wednesday, Ladies Night, and Bark in the Park, Thirsty Thursday, Fireworks Friday, Sunday Brunch, and Kids Club. Plus, drop into the team store for special pricing on all kinds of swag. Hometown Baseball is your best entertainment value in Southwest Florida with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Is a presentation of Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball. Mighty Muscles Baseball is on the air worldwide on the Mighty Muscles Broadcast Network. The game is coming up, but first, it's time for Muscles Pregame Live. And here's your host, John Vitas.
A very pleasant Thursday to you. We are on schedule for a 7 o'clock first pitch. Doesn't happen every day in the Florida State League in August, but clear skies above. We had significant thunderstorms from about 2:30 until about 5 p.m. today, but things have cleared out wonderfully here for first pitch. The field is in terrific condition. Marauders in their alternate black jerseys tonight. Muscles in the Miracle Baby Blues. It's a good look for Fort Myers. Navy blue caps with the red Miracle logo on the front. Wearing similar colors to their parent club in Minnesota. We are just 13 minutes away from first pitch. Let's give you today's starting pitching matchup. It'll be left-hander Jordan Carr making the start for Fort Myers, 6'2" and 210 pounds out of Baltimore, Maryland, 25 years old and signed as an undrafted free agent last year. Carr spent 6 years in college, took a graduate school year at the College of Charleston, and has both a master's and an undergraduate degree. Went to the USPBL last summer, pitched for the Utica Unicorns, and after 7 outings and 26 terrific innings with them, he was signed by the Twins, pitched 5 games for the FCL Twins, and this year has earned a spot in the rotation as we bring in Aiden Pearson. And Aiden Carr is not a hard thrower, but he's a guy who can mix speeds, really good breaking ball, and facing a pretty solid Bradenton lineup tonight.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of fastball sinker sort of action, as well as mixing in that slider and the occasional curveball. He liked facing this Bradenton team his last time out, went five innings, giving up only three hits on one run, five strikeouts. That was probably one of his more dominant performances, if not the most dominant performance of the season for him. So I think he's looking to build on that. And his last start, a little shaky, but hopefully he can build on that and continue what has been a pretty good season for him this so far.
Yeah, five of eight of Jordan's outings have been against Clearwater or Tampa. So he's glad to be facing somebody different today in Bradenton, his second outing against the Marauders this year. Tops out at 90 miles an hour, but again, really good off-speed stuff. Will be up against a right-hand heavy Bradenton order. On the Marauders side, it'll be 21-year-old left-hander Luis Peralta, 5'11", just 170 pounds, and really struggling this year. ERA of 6.21. His rough outing against the Muscles on May 24th pushed him down to the development list. Didn't pitch for over a month for the Marauders before coming back and pitching a little bit better. He's been better since coming off the development list, dropping that ERA down into the low sixes now. Went four innings, gave up two runs in his last outing against Lakeland, and struck out six, which was his fourth highest strikeout day of the season. 73 pitches, so Peralta is pretty much fully stretched out at this stage of the year.
Yeah, and he's going to give you a fastball, curveball mostly, about 75% of the fastball. He'll get a lot of swings and misses, but his command has also struggled a lot this year. You'll also see him occasionally to the left-handed hitters throw a changeup, but you'll see mostly fastball, curveball. His fastball is about 92 to 95 with a tops out at about 96. As a left-handed pitcher, it could be pretty good if he can work on that command. It'll be interesting to see if the Muscles can get to him like they did in his last outing against them.
So it's an all left-handed pitching matchup here in Game 3 of this six-game series. It's time for our first break here on Mighty Muscles Pregame Live. We'll be back with some updates from around the Twins organization when we come back.
After a car accident, you can feel like you've lost control. I'm Mark Anajar from the law offices of Anajar & Levine. After the crash, call the police and document the scene by taking photos of all the vehicles involved. If you were injured, get medical attention as soon as possible. If you've been involved in a car accident, call the law offices of Anajar & Levine at 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733 for a free consultation. And take back control of your life.
Offices, Fort Myers and Naples.
Live from Hammond Stadium as we get you ready for first pitch between the Marauders and the Mighty Muscles here tonight. Let's take a look around the Twins organization while we have a moment. The Major League team got the rubber game of the series from Detroit last night, 4-1. Twins get to 55-49. It was newcomer day over at Target Field as Sandy Leon was 2-for-3 with a double and two RBIs. And the two trade acquisitions, Jorge Lopez, Michael Fulmer, both threw a scoreless inning in relief to get the Twins a very stable 4-1 win. They'll start a series at Target Field tonight against the Blue Jays. Sonny Gray gets the start for Minnesota, opposed by Alec Manoa. AAA St. Paul with a 9-7 win over Omaha. 49-50 now their record. Jermaine Palacios had three doubles and two runs scored. Michael Hellman hit his ninth home run of the year. And Mikey Perez with the game-winning three-run shot in the ninth to sink the Storm Chasers. Double-A Wichita was shut out 8-0 against San Antonio. High-A Cedar Rapids lost 9-5 to Beloit. They're still 20 games over 500. Seth Gray was 3-for-4 with four RBIs. And Junior Severino was 2-for-4 with a double, a walk, and an RBI. And today, the former Muscle was called up to Double-A Wichita. So we are very excited for Sevy, who was a big part of the Muscle's lineup last season and hitting extremely well for Cedar Rapids after missing the first 2 months of the year with an injury. But he has made up for lost time and is now in Double-A. Earlier this afternoon, the FCL Twins welcomed in the FCL Pirates, and we got to see the professional debuts of both Brooks Lee and Tanner Schobel, the top two position player draft picks for the Twins this year. Brooks Lee had his first professional hit, but Schobel went 0-for-3. Those guys will likely at some point either this week or next week be sent up to the Muscles or High A Cedar Rapids. There are a plethora of other draft picks training at the complex that could be in game soon as well. Just a quick look at tonight's scores from around the Twins organization. St. Paul getting underway at 8:05 in Omaha. Jordan Belozovic makes the start against Jackson Coar. Double A Wichita an 8:05 start in Texas as Louis Varland makes the start against Ben Krauth. High A Cedar Rapids getting going at 7:35 against the Sky Carp. Orlando Rodriguez makes the start in place of the left-hander Cade Povich, who was traded yesterday at the deadline. And the system is being updated, Aiden Pearson. We see these draft picks coming in. Mikey Perez in AAA last night hits the game-winning home run, and today transferred to Cedar Rapids, so it's now an official promotion for Mikey, and he really earned it.
Yeah, he really did. He had a really great season. Over 30 stolen bases, over 20 doubles for this Fort Myers team. Finished around a .220 average, but for a guy, he played almost every position on the infield. He was a great teammate, did everything that was asked of him here in Fort Myers, and if any guy deserved the promotion, it was him. We wish him the best of luck in Cedar Rapids, and if his bat is anything like what we saw here and what we saw last night in St. Paul, I think it's going to be a really great spot for him.
It was a really busy day yesterday for the Twins with those three trades. We talked about it on the broadcast last night, but losing a lot of talent in the minor leagues, especially on the offensive side, losing Christian Encarnacion Strand and Spencer Steer. But Mikey picks up the slack in AAA. Now Junior Severino goes up to AA. So the Twins are doing a good job developing. They're not going to be in the top five on any farm system talent rankings, but they are in the top half of baseball, and they're replenishing that talent that they're giving away in trades.
Yeah, I mean, you really got to love what the draft picks are doing. Like you mentioned, Brooks Lee today getting his first action in the Gulf Coast League, or the Florida Complex League, I should say. So you're really happy that you're seeing this reload of prospect revamp. And what we saw out of the draft that we talked about earlier in the season when the draft happened is that they drafted a lot of athletes this year. Everyone sort of listed as a shortstop or a center fielder, but they got a lot of athletes who can really replenish the system. And with all these internal promotions, you got to be really happy with where your team is at and where your organization is at, especially if you're a Mighty Muscles fan coming to September in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Twins scouts and the Twins front office hit on almost every draft pick last year. We still have a bunch of the guys from last year's draft on the Muscles roster, but a bunch of them are in High A and Double A already. And Encarnacion Strand, who was one of the first guys to Double A, becomes trade bait to acquire a really talented starting pitcher in Tyler Molly, who will be with the Twins down the home stretch not just this year, but next year as well, as he has another year of team control. That 2021 draft class, just tremendous. Unfortunately, Twins fans will only get to see a few of their stars play for the Twins from that draft class. Chase Petty, the first rounder, already traded. Encarnacion Strand traded yesterday, and a couple other guys already in other organizations as well. But really good job by the Twins front office last year in the draft, and it looks like nothing but positive returns so far in 2022. It's turned into a nice night for baseball, a little muggy, a little overcast, but there is lighter blue skies above, so we are on time for a 7 o'clock start. So first pitch in exactly 3 minutes from now. We'll take our final break here on the pregame show, and we'll be back with Jordan Carr against the Bradenton Marauders after this.
Today's row crop farming is all about efficiency. When the sun's up, you gotta go. You don't have time for multiple trips across your fields, and you can't take risks on unproven products. That's why the best farmers, including those at Next Level, rely on Brandt, formulated for superior tank mixing and advanced nutrition delivery. Brandt's products are highly efficient, helping improve your crop's quality and overall yield. Visit Brandt.co for more information.
We'll be right back.
We are ready for baseball here on Thursday night in Fort Myers. John Vita is happy to have you along as Jordan Carr takes his warm-up tosses for tonight, the Fort Myers Miracle, coming in with a record of 54-40, 13-17 in half number two. Here is the lineup that Jordan will face for the Bradenton Marauders, a record of 49-48 overall, but 20-12 and just a half game behind Tampa for the final playoff spot in the West. Second baseman Sung Che Chang will lead it off, followed by Jace Bowen in left field. Juan Jerez bats third at third base. Sergio Campana bats cleanup in center field with Wyatt Hendry batting fifth, the catcher. DHing for the first time this week is Bubba Chandler. He's in the sixth hole. We'll talk about his role with the team later on tonight. Michael Escoto bats seventh at shortstop. The right fielder Josiah Dixon bats eighth, and Brendan Dixon, no relation, bats ninth. He is at first base. Muscles today being called the Miracle in their baby blue jerseys with red, white, and blue trim on the end of the sleeve. Miracle across the chest in cursive and in red. And then the navy blue caps with the red M on the front. White pants here at home against the Marauders in the black and gold with gray pants. Carr from Maryland kicks the first pitch in, and the fastball sinks low for ball one to Sung Che Chang. Carr will run and cut the fastball. Both the cutter and the sinker are 87-90. There's a bunt, and it's fouled off for strike one. He's got a slider in the low to mid-80s, and then a curveball and a changeup in the 70s. The curveball's been anywhere from 72 to 79, but when it's in the upper 70s, it is nasty. There it is, and it's on the outside. That was actually the slider, and it's on the outside corner, strike two. If there's one thing Jordan does well, it is mix speeds and spin the baseball. Here comes the 1-2, and he got him. Wipe out curveball at 77. Strikes out Chang, and there's one down in the first. Let's meet the defense for Fort Myers in the outfield left to right. It's Carlos Aguiar, Misael Urbina, and Nelson Roberto. Keone Cavaco plays third base with Daniel Ozoria at shortstop. Rubel Cespedes handles second base with LaRon Smith over at first. Noah Cardenas does the catching, working with Carr. First pitch to the righty, Bowen is hit sharply out to short right at Ozoria. He gobbles it up and fires a strike to first base. Two down. So now Juan Jerez, who stroked a solo homer up the berm in left field last night. Muscles were able to hang on and win 3-2. But Jerez delivering his fourth home run of the year. Right-handed hitter from San Pedro de Macorís in the Dominican Republic, 20 years of age. Open stance, the pitch from Carr is dribbled in front of the plate. Carr pounces first base side, spins and flips it to first in time to end the inning. That's a sixth pitch, top of the first, for Jordan Carr. The Mighty Muscles come to bat when we return here on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Today's row crop farming is all about efficiency. When the sun's up, you gotta go. You don't have time for multiple trips across your fields, and you can't take risks on unproven products. That's why the best farmers, including those at Next Level, rely on Brandt, formulated for superior tank mixing and advanced nutrition delivery. Brandt's products are highly efficient, helping improve your crop's quality and overall yield. Visit Brandt.co for more information.
Hammond Stadium's newest neighbors are bringing Coldwater Seafood to the next level. Introducing Coldwater Oyster Market, the area's newest sports bar with 44 taps, 24 HD TVs, and the freshest seafood in town. Pick from a wide selection of fresh oysters, lobster rolls, mussels, crab cakes, and more. Better yet, bring your Muscles game ticket to Coldwater for a free cup of award-winning New England clam chowder or Scotty's Mighty Muscles Blonde Ale. That's Coldwater Oyster Market, located on 6 Mile Cypress, just 2 miles south of Hammond Stadium.
This is Mighty Muscles catcher LaRon Smith, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Bottom of the first, no score, and your Mighty Muscles come to bat against left-hander Luis Peralta. Here is tonight's Achieva Credit Union starting lineup for Fort Myers. It'll be the center fielder Misael Urbina set to lead it off, followed by third baseman Keone Cavaco. Kalei Rosario is the DH. He bats third. Noah Cardenas in the cleanup spot is the catcher. Laron Smith bats fifth at first base with Rubel Cespedes in the sixth hole at second base. Peralta rocks the first pitch in, and Urbina skies it down the right field line. Coming over are both Dixons, but that's going to be onto the berm for strike one. Daniel Osorio bats seventh at shortstop. He'll be followed by the left fielder Carlos Aguiar. Nelson Roberto rounds it out in right field for the Mighty Muscles. Come in with a record of 54-40, 13-17, though, to start the second half. 0-1 is fouled back over the screen, strike two. 93 on the fastball from Peralta. The defense for the Marauders looks like this. In the outfield left to right, it's Jace Bowen, Sergio Campagna, and Josiah Dixon. 0-2 is way outside for a ball. Juan Jerez handles the hot corner with Michael Escoto at shortstop. Tsung-Chae Chang at second base with Brendan Dixon over at first. Wyatt Hendry does the catching. That one's down and away for ball two. Hendry catching for the third straight night for Bradenton. Their backup catcher was placed on the injured list yesterday and replaced by Complex League catcher Darwin Baez. 2-2 is low, so we could see Hendry catch 5 out of 6 this week, since they only have two catchers on the roster. Full count on Urbina to start the night for the Muscles. 3-2 pitch coming. And it's hammered out to left center field, very deep. Bowen back near the wall, reaching up near the fence, and it's gone! Misael Urbina clears the wall in left center field. A solo home run to put Fort Myers in front, 1-0. A high arcing blast that just barely cleared the Massage Envy sign in left center field, and Urbina puts the Muscles in front. It'll bring up Cavaco. That ball was high enough. It was just a matter of if it was far enough. That one is low for a ball. That's the type of trajectory that oftentimes in this league will get caught on the warning track. But Urbina had just enough juice to get it out of here. The 1-0 is a fastball down the middle for a strike, 1-1. The flags are completely limp right now. If there was any wind at all, that ball probably gets caught on the warning track as Bowen was in position waiting for it. I went in the dirt for a ball, 2-1. The fences here are at least 10 feet tall, so you really can't rob a homer unless you've got just remarkable ups. And Bowen did jump for it, but was beyond his reach and over the fence. 2-1 on Cavaco as Peralta kicks from the windup. Fastball sprayed in the air a mile high to right. Josiah Dixon eases towards the right field line and makes the catch for out number one. So Cavaco flies out, and now it'll be Kalei Rosario. All that, Fort Myers bullpen, as always, a busy place to be. Muscles playing 7-inning games the last two nights, only used 2 relievers in each of those games. So 7 of the 11 relievers have yet to pitch in this series as Rosario takes outside for ball one. You've got Perez and Wilson available from the left side. The 1-0, swing and a miss on a fastball, 1-1. And then you've got Barrington, Lavallee, Escobar, Rimmel, and Hicks all available from the right side. The pitch home. Curveball drops in for strike two. Escobar with a similar frame to Jordan Carr, maybe a few pounds lighter. And after all, he is the same. Actually, he is 2 inches shorter. Curveball just missed outside, but similar builds, similar deliveries. And they both have a big looping curveball, which you don't see much of in professional baseball anymore. That one right there, it's 75 miles an hour. The 2-2, fastball in the dirt, ball three. We mentioned it in the pregame show. The last time Peralta faced the Mighty Muscles, he gave up four runs, failed to get out of the second inning, and was taken off the roster. He was put on the development list because the FCL season hadn't started yet. As that one misses outside, ball four. So Rosario draws the one-out walk, and it'll bring Cardenas to the plate with one on and one out. Peralta spent exactly a month on the development list. Even after the FCL season began, he stayed on the Marauders roster, but inactive. I think they've added the development list to keep teams from using what they call the Phantom IL. As that one's fouled off strike one. There was a time not too long ago in the minors that, you know, teams that were scattered all around the country and it was not easy to ship guys all around, they would keep an extra body or two in their clubhouse in case somebody got hurt or in case there was a need for them. And a lot of times teams would put them on the injured list, back then the disabled list, in order to, you know, justify keeping them on the roster. That one's outside, but called a strike 0-2 right on the edge of the plate. So Peralta gets ahead on Cardenas. So now that you got the development list, you can put guys on there instead. 0-2, and Cardenas calls for time. There were also times where they would do paper moves where you would have a guy who's physically in AA but inactive on a short season roster. Slider stays high, 1-2. Today is a challenge game, so the umpire will call it the old-fashioned way. Connor McKenna behind the plate tonight. And then the umpires can be challenged on balls and strikes by the players. Curveball sweeps low. That's ball two. If you're new to the rules, each team gets three challenges per game. If they are correct, they get to keep the challenge. So it's three incorrect challenges per game. It is officiated by the ABS operator here in the press box looking at the robotic strike zone. 2-2. It is laced foul on the right side as Cardenas took a pass at a fastball. And the challenges can only come from the batter, the pitcher, or the catcher. No one in the dugout is allowed to challenge. And it has to be immediate. You can't wait, look to the dugout, pull the audience. No, it's got to be right away. Runner goes, pitches outside, throw on the money, and Rosario is out. Hendry guns him down at second on a feet-first slide. And just like that, there are two outs and nobody on. Three and two on Noah. Muscles already up a run. Here's the payoff. And it's drilled in the center field, a base hit. Cardenas squares up 94, and he has himself a single. So now Laron Smith will get a turn here in the first inning. Laron sat out the first two games in this series, but whenever he's been in there, he has hit exceptionally well for this team. OPS of 847 through his first 18 games at this level. Called up in mid-June. First pitch to him is smoked out to left, but shaded to the gap is Bowen, and he'll make the catch on the rocket line drive to end the inning. Muscles get a run on the homer by Urbina. We move to the second with Fort Myers on top, 1-0.
After a car accident, you can feel like you've lost control. I'm Mark Anajar from the law offices of Anajar and Levine. After the crash, call the police and document the scene by taking photos of all the vehicles involved. If you were injured, get medical attention as soon as possible. If you've been involved in a car accident, call the law offices of Anajar and Levine at 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733 for a free consultation. And take back control of your life.
Offices, Fort Myers and Naples.
Stay up to speed with promotions and all things Mighty Muscles. Games and events, Mighty Muscles merch, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Mighty Muscles, and on the web at MightyMuscles.com. Come on out to the ball game with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
This is Muscles, right-handed pitcher Marco Arroyo, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Jordan Carr back to work for the Mighty Muscles here in the second inning. For Myers with a run on two hits in the first, out to a lead tonight. Jordan's first pitch to Campagna is a high fastball that he swings through 0-1. It'll be Hendry and Chandler to follow, all right-handed hitters against Carr. Only one lefty against Jordan in this lineup tonight. Fastball foul back over the screen, strike two. Pretty typical Thursday crowd so far here in Fort Myers, although it's filling in pretty well since first pitch. I think a lot of the folks realizing that we're getting really good weather here at the last minute. I mean, it was nasty all afternoon. It started getting dark here at about 2 p.m. We had heavy rain from 3:30 to 4:30, and then on and off drizzle and some dark clouds throughout the area from 4:30 to 6. But by 7, it had all cleared up. And it is beautiful now. A little muggy, a little warm, but probably more comfortable than usual for August in Florida as Campagna fouls it back to stay alive. Carr spent a good amount of time in the South, went to UNC Asheville and the College of Charleston in South Carolina. Curveball sprayed foul on the right side out of play. He's pitched for a long time at the college level. Was the number two left-handed pitcher in the state of Maryland by perfect game. Back in 2015, which is when he graduated high school, the 0-2. Breaking ball comes inside and it drills him. Campagna wears it on the front thigh. And the Marauders have a leadoff base runner with Hendry coming up next.
Next center, pitcher number 6,
Carr was on the UNC Asheville roster in 2016, racked up 70 innings, but then redshirted because he had Tommy John surgery in 2017. But over 3 years, 4 years, 3 years on the mound at UNC Asheville, racked up over 150 innings, and then spent the 2021 spring over at the College of Charleston. Campagna still having some trouble walking behind the first base bag with the trainer, now taking a light jog down the line. That one might have got part of his knee. A curveball off your thigh usually isn't too painful, but might have caught a more vulnerable area because he is still struggling, kind of hobbling back towards first base now. And he's going to stay in. That one did not feel good for Sergio Campagna. So now it's Hendry, the catcher, a 225 hitter, three home runs and 16 driven in this year. Carr immediately checks on the runner, and they got him. Laron has to chase him into a rundown and then lays the tag on about two-thirds of the way to second base. So Carr takes advantage of the bummed wheel, and he picks off Campagna. A little ruthless, but hey, this is pro ball. It's every man for himself. One out, nobody on now as Hendry still awaiting his first pitch. The pitch is a fastball on the outside corner at 88 miles an hour, which is Jordan's normal fastball velocity. Carr out of the stretch delivers home. And he got him. Good high fastball there for strike two. And with all that movement, the sink and the cut, that was a sinking pitch. It's tough to square up even though it's only in the upper 80s. He hides it pretty well also. 0-2 curve is in there. Strike three called. Strikeout number two for Jordan Carr. Hendry is down looking in the last chance. For Bradenton is Bubba Chandler. Chandler was the Pirates' third-round pick last year out of high school. Was slated to play quarterback at Clemson. Was going to be a two-sport athlete in the ACC. And to tempt him away from that incredible opportunity, the Pirates had to pay him first-round money. So he got $2 million to sign as he takes inside for ball one. We saw him piggyback on the mound Tuesday with the Pirates' second-round pick from last year, Anthony Solomato. Chandler started, Solomato finished. There's a swing and a miss on a good changeup. 1-1. Chandler is a switch hitter. He's batting right-handed here against Carr. Second consecutive night, the Muscles have started a left-handed pitcher as the changeup dives low, 2-1. It would have been three nights in a row had Steve Hatcher not been traded to Cincinnati. He was slated to go tomorrow night. Now, as of now, it's still to be announced. Muscles have no idea who's going tomorrow. Likely to be a bullpen day. 2-1 is fouled off, strike two. Now, they have the arms to get through tomorrow. The question is, how is the team looking come Sunday when we have another TBA in the rotation? Carr set the 2-2, and he got him. Good off-speed pitch to strike out Chandler. Three strikeouts already, two scoreless innings for Jordan Carr. Muscles lead by one. We'll be right back.
There's no better way to let off some steam than axe throwing. But ever wish the party could come to you? Well, now it can. Introducing Chuck It Axes, the mobile axe throwing company that'll bring the party to your front yard, backyard, parking lot, or business. Chuck It offers one-on-one coaching for all ages and skill levels and is fully insured. To schedule your axe throwing party today, call 239-851-AXES or visit chuckitaxes.com. Life is short. Chuck It!
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Listening to Muscles Baseball Live on the home of the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
6-7-8 here for the Mighty Muscles as Rubel Cespedes leads it off against Luis Peralta, the lefty who allowed a run on two hits in the first inning. We'll face two lefties and Osorio, a switch hitter who'll bat right-handed, who's on deck. Left-on-left matchup, and the first pitch to Cespedes is hammered out to deep right field. Forget it. Over everything and out of the ballpark. A home run for Rubel Cespedes. His third of the season, and the Mighty Muscles double their lead. It's 2-0. Cespedes celebrating around third as he slaps hands with Brian Meyer. That was a no-doubter. Overall, four rows of picnic seating in straightaway right field. And Aiden Pearson will bring in with that. What a shot.
I mean, Urbina's was sort of a wall scraper out here to left field, and then Cespedes just puts it completely out there. You got to think that's over 380 feet, probably close to 400 on the marker there, and it was an absolute shot.
Urbina pops one up towards the tarp in right field, sliding attempt by Chang in the dirt, but he can't come up with it as he was avoiding the tarp and almost made the play. That's strike one on Osorio. So just the third homer for Cespedes in about 50 games played now with the Muscles, but two of the three have been absolute moonshots. That one was more of a line drive, but still way out of the ballpark. I totally agree. 380 to 400 to a part of the ballpark that's only about 350 to the wall. That one's looped off the right side, strike two. But it just reminds you how talented some of these guys were. Remember last week watching batting practice, here's the 0-2 from Peralta, and it just missed outside. Last week watching practice, I think Nelson Roberto was on like a 1-for-21 But we watched him hit moonshots over the berm and left, and you remind yourself, wow, these guys are really good. Fastball, swing and a miss, strike three. Ozoria on top of the sinker, 95 with some movement from Luis Peralta, who picks up his first strikeout of the night, and now it'll be Carlos Aguiar. But you couldn't need that reminder every once in a while to see how just supremely talented these guys are.
Yeah, I mean, you know the top four names in this order with, you know, Urbina, Cavaco, Rosario, Cardenas, all of them can do it and have shown they can do it. But really, the bottom five guys in this order, four out of five of them have raw power that you just see, whether it's Smith, whether it's Cespedes. Aguiar and Roberto are both built almost like defensive linemen with how strong they are. You know, they could definitely put one out over the berm like we saw in batting practice. And now it's just how does it translate into the game against live pitching?
0-2 on Aguiar, who swung through a breaking ball there, the 0-2 on the way, and he got him again. Good curveball to strike out Carlos. And it's back-to-back Ks for Luis Peralta. It'll bring up Nelson Roberto, but that's something I remarked a few times over the last couple weeks as the Muscles settle into a losing record here in the second half. There's still no shortage of entertainment because the guys at the bottom of the order still have, you know, 20 home run potential, maybe even 30 home run potential as Roberto fouls it back strike one. But 30 home runs in any other league in pro ball is like 12 home runs in this league. Just so much harder to get balls out, and you're constantly fatigued and sweating in the heat. As Roberto fouls it back over the screen, strike two. But even if this team finishes the second half with a losing record, there will still be plenty of home runs to call. I think we mentioned it last week that they were on pace for about 120 home runs this year, which is well over what we normally see in the Florida State League. Most teams will end up around 80 home runs in a season. 0-2. Curveball, and he got him. Nasty pitch. Peralta comes back to strike out the side after allowing the solo shot to Cespedes. We move to the third. Mighty Muscles now lead 2-0.
Athenian Academy Charter School, the first Greek immersion charter school in the United States, is now in Fort Myers and open for enrollment for the upcoming school year. Athenian Academy is a tuition-free public school offering kindergarten through 8th grade with a brand new state-of-the-art building. Their certified teachers create excellence in education through a motivating, focused academic and language approach that includes Greek and Spanish taught daily. Located on Three Oaks Parkway, just south of San Carlos Boulevard, Athenian Academy Charter School. Come experience the difference.
Two for One Tuesdays, Thirsty Thursdays, Fireworks Fridays, Free Giveaway Saturdays, and Sunday Brunch. Game Day doesn't get more family-friendly. Stay up to speed with Home Game Times on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Mighty Muscles.
This is Twins broadcaster Corey Provis. You are listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Third inning here at Hammond Stadium, and Michael Escoto leads it off for Bradenton. Muscles out to a 2-0 lead. Jordan Carr has been magnificent so far. Three strikeouts through two hitless innings. As that one sinks low on Escoto for ball one. And Aiden, watching Jordan through the first couple, what have you liked the most?
I have loved the off-speed pitches there, just breaking with a whole lot of movement. He's generating a lot of weak contact when contact is made, but he's also generating a lot of swing and miss. Great pitch mix so far, and he's really commanding the zone so far today, which has been a struggle for him in the past.
Cutter in for a strike there, 1-1. Carr's 1-1 offering is a changeup low for ball two. I mean, it's a true five pitches for Jordan. Upper 80s with the fastball, but he hides the ball so well. Keeps that arm tucked behind his back as he comes home. That one's lined towards the middle, and Cespedes makes a reaching grab. Good job by Rubel on the backhand to smear that one. And Escoto is retired. So now it'll be Josiah Dixon, the right fielder for Bradenton. Carr, always out of the stretch, kicks the pitch home. and it's low, an 88-mile-an-hour fastball. We have seen Jordan pop a few 90s this year. Hit 89-7 in his last outing. The 1-0 pitch is a swing and a miss, 1-1. Now, Carr has pitched in 8 games. This is his 9th game of the year for the Muscles. 5 of his first 8 have been either against Tampa or Clearwater. 2 games against Clearwater, 3 games against the Tarpons. Change up in for a strike, 1-2. Tampa's a power-hitting team, so not necessarily the best matchup for a finesse pitcher. You're not going to get a ton of weak contact against teams that go all or nothing. Curveball down and in, 2-2. Now, the problem for Jordan in this league is that most teams, including the Marauders, are extremely right-hand dominant. But he seemed to be able to overcome that tonight and in most of his outings this year. 2-2. Backdoor slider stays high, 3-2. Marauders in general are a team that hit for a lower average but do have some power as well. Here's the 3-2, and it's lined to first but caught by LaRon Smith. So a couple of low line drives right at the Fort Myers infielders, and there's two away now for Brendan Dixon. Brendan with the jogger look. He's got the black and gold socks sticking out behind the longer pants. And he swings over a tailing fastball away, 0-1.
And I think the thing you see most with Carr right now, and you look at the statistics, a 3.86 ERA is pretty good for the Florida State League, but the 1.15 whip is really what spikes me as the most interesting about him. Obviously, tonight he's been very good, very crafty, and if he can continue doing that, he's going to feel really good about himself, and at 25 years old, he's really given himself a chance to move up.
Cutter misses inside, 1-1. He's 25 years old, so he's 3 to 4 years older than the league average. So you expect him to do well at this level, and he has. 1-1 is a changeup low for ball two, but that's why you're right, Aiden. Even though he just got to the Muscles a month and a half ago, he could be in line for a promotion because of his age. Now, the Twins do have 6 years of control on Jordan because he was not signed or drafted out of college. He was an amateur free agent, as opposed to other guys who have been picked up out of the independent leagues. There's a swing and a miss, strike two. For example, Orlando Rodriguez, who's starting tonight for High A Cedar Rapids. Orlando was in the Reds organization, got released, and when the Twins picked him up last year out of the independent leagues, he was only on a one-year contract. Carr, because he never pitched an affiliated ball before the Twins signed him, does have 6 years with the Twins. 2-2 is cranked down the left field line towards the corner. Looking up near the wall is Aguiar, and it hits off the top of the fence. Dixon heading for two will cruise in there with a double off the top of the wall. Missed a home run by about 2 feet.
Yeah, unlike Urbina's, his stayed in the park. A line drive, double there, and now Carr just has to reset here. He's got the favorable matchup with Chang being a lefty. He's just got to settle in and do what he did.
And that was a kind of a humpback line drive towards left field. Hit really hard, but not high enough to get out of here. And so the Marauders down two. Get a man into scoring position for the first time in this game. That's also their first hit of the game. As Chang dribbles one foul on the left side, strike one. So Bradenton goes 1-for-8 with a hit by pitch. First trip through the order against Jordan. Carr's next pitch is lifted out to shallow left. Plenty of hang time for Aguiar, who comes in a couple steps and makes the grab with two hands to end the inning. 3 scoreless innings for Jordan Carr as the Muscles come to bat next, leading 2-0.
You may not need a lawyer today, but at some point in your life, you might. Attorney Spencer Cordell is a criminal defense and personal injury lawyer recognized by the Florida Bar as an expert in criminal trial law. Spencer's main office is in Fort Myers, and he represents clients in DUI, criminal law, and felony case matters from Port Charlotte to Naples. Initial consultations are free. You may not need a lawyer today, so remember his name for when you do. The Law Office of Spencer Cordell, committed to serving Floridians with excellence.
There's no better deal during Muscles season than a Silver Sluggers membership. For just $55, all fans 65 years and older can get a ticket to all 11 Wednesday home games. They'll also get a free parking pass and t-shirt, not to mention a 10% discount in the team store. To purchase your Silver Sluggers card today, call Ross Sirtis at 239-533-7661. That's 239-533-7661.
This is Mighty Muscles pitcher Jordan Carr, and you're listening to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
And Jordan Carr threw three scoreless innings for Fort Myers. Luis Peralta back to work for Bradenton, facing the top of the Muscles order. Misael Urbina leads it off, and the first pitch after a pause to him. Here comes the pitch finally. And it's at the knees for a strike, 0-1. Urbina with a solo home run to start the first inning. In fact, both home runs have been leadoff home runs for the Muscles tonight. Breaking ball and Urbina way out in front, strike two. Rubel Cespedes had the other one. So the Muscles out to a 2-0 lead as we play in the bottom of the third inning. Curveball hit on the ground at third. Two hops right to Jerez. Stands tall and makes a strong throw to first for the out. So Urbina retired, or now it'll be Cavaco. Both pitchers now settling into a rhythm. Peralta struck out the side after allowing the home run to Cespedes. Cavaco with the red shin guard on the front leg, which all the Muscles can wear their red paraphernalia in these miracle jerseys, as that one is low for ball one. And Aiden, are you a fan of the miracle look?
I'm a fan of the jersey color and the red accents of it.
I want smoked into left field, a base hit for Cavaco. Able to spray a fastball into left field. Keone has his first hit, and the Muscles have a one-out base runner. The powder blue is sharp.
The powder blue is very sharp, and I'm always a fan of a team that rocks similar colors to their parent club, because I guess this just comes from an idea that you can keep that same gear going up through the levels. You can keep the same color scheme. You don't have to really worry about too much. So when you're able to do that, it's always a cool look.
Curveball catches the knees on the inside corner to Rosario for strike one. And Rosario challenges the pitch, and it is called a ball. So he has had one of the best records all year on challenging pitches. 1-0 now on Kala'i. Fastball way outside, 2-0. The red, white, and blue stripes on the sleeve, I think, is a good part of it as well. You've got it around the collar also. Something the Miracle always had with their look back in the day, as Rosario is jammed and he loops it into the crowd on the right side for strike one. Rosario wearing his red spikes tonight, so all the Muscles players breaking out their spring training issued gear tonight. Red shin guards, red batting gloves, red elbow guards. As that one's grounded towards the middle, could be two. Fielded by Chang, the flip to Escoto, and on to first double play, 4-6-3. Marauders able to turn it. And Peralta faces the minimum. Aiden Pearson is the play-by-play when we come back. We're through three innings. Fort Myers up 2-0.
Your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles roll into the second big week of our homestand, welcoming the Bradenton Marauders to Hammond Stadium. We'll have all your favorite nights, Two for Tuesday, Dollar Dog Wednesday, Ladies Night, and Bark in the Park, Thirsty Thursday, Fireworks Friday, Sunday Brunch, and Kids Club. Plus, drop into the team store for special pricing on all kinds of swag. Hometown Baseball is your best entertainment value in Southwest Florida with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Hook up on Twitter at Mighty Muscles for game day starting lineups, final scores, game recaps, promotions, and more. It's the best way to know what's happening right now, and total team info with rosters, stats, stories, and promotions is on the web at MightyMuscles.com.
Welcome back to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball Network. As Jace Bowen, Juan Jerez, and Sergio Campana do up for the Bradenton Marauders, who are trailing 2-0 to the Mighty Muscles as Jordan Carr is out for his fourth inning of work. First pitch, fastball misses low for ball one. Bowen in his last out bat, first pitch ground out to the shortstop Ozoria. Carr gets his sign, comes set on the hill, kicks, deals. Misses just outside again. It's ball two. Carr so far, three strikeouts through three innings. On the season, only 23 strikeouts in 30 and a third innings pitches. This one is grounded over to Ozoria on a hop, and he throws over to Laron Smith at first base for the first out. That'll bring up the third baseman, Juan Jerez. A little dribbler in front of the mound for Carr as he hopped off the mound and threw over to first base in his last AB in the first inning. Carr comes set, the first pitch. This one is popped up high in the air behind the third base area. Three Muscles defenders come in, and it's going to be Aguiar who makes the catch in the outfield. So quickly there are two down, and that'll bring up Sergio Campana. Campana was hit by a pitch in his last at-bat. It looked like it hit him right on the knee area, maybe the thigh on a curveball. Was in some definite discomfort. Took a pretty big lead off first base and was picked off by Carr. As the first pitch from Carr. Misses outside for ball one. Campana out of Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic. As the pitch to him is going to be lined foul down the right left field line into the Muscles bullpen. Campana, 6'1", 160, just 20 years old, was an international free agent signed in 2018 as he breaks his bat on that foul ball. He's going to go over and get some new lumber. So far in the season, 203 with four home runs to his credit. As the next pitch to him, it's going to be flared foul over towards the berm. It's going to go just past the berm down the right field line, and it's 1-2. As we've mentioned, it's turned into a beautiful night for baseball here. Is blue skies all around, a little bit of cloud cover around. Lights coming on the field here. Take full effect not too long from now, as this one has popped up right on top of the mound there. And Keone Cavaco will call off Jordan Carr, and Cavaco will run over and make the catch. Another 1-2-3 inning for Jordan Carr. We head to the bottom of the fourth inning. Muscles lead 2-0.
Wednesdays have a little something for everyone at Hammond Stadium this year.
Bring your four-legged friends to see the Muscles for Bark in the Park.
Walk your dog and eat a dog.
As $1 hot dogs will be available all night long.
It's also Silver Sluggers night, with a special ticket package available for our seniors.
Last,
but definitely not least,
it's ladies' night. Ladies can enjoy 2-for-1 seltzers and wine.
That's Bark in the Park,
Dollar Dog Night,
Silver Sluggers,
and ladies' night.
Every Wednesday here at Hammond Stadium.
Your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles roll into the second big week of our homestand welcoming the Bradenton Marauders to Hammond Stadium. We'll have all your favorite nights, 2 for Tuesday, Dollar Dog Wednesday, Ladies Night, and Bark in the Park, Thirsty Thursday, Fireworks Friday, Sunday Brunch, and Kids Club. Plus, drop into the team store for special pricing on all kinds of swag. Hometown Baseball is your best entertainment value in Southwest Florida with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
This is Pearson Ohl, and you're listening to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Welcome back to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball Network. As Noah Cardenas steps up to the plate, he'll be followed by LaRon Smith and Rubel Cespedes here in the fourth inning, as Luis Peralta heads out for another inning of work. So Cardenas will step in, and the first pitch to him, it'll miss high and outside for ball one, 90 miles an hour on that one. Cardenas singled in his last AB. He'll look to do some more here. That next pitch misses high and outside again. Fastball for ball two. Smith on deck with Cardenas to Cespedes to follow, as that one is lined past the diving stop of Perez there and into left field for a base hit. So a pair of singles for Cardenas tonight, and that'll bring up the first baseman, LaRon Smith. Smith so far on the season hitting .261, lined out on some pretty hard contact to the left fielder Bowen in his last AB. So we'll see what he does here. Cardenas gets his lead. He's off. The throw down is going to be in time, and they get him. Good tag applied there, and a great throw by Hendry to get Cardenas. So just as quickly as he got on base, he is out, so there's no one on now with one out for Smith. Next pitch misses high. It's 1-1. Smith, an 830 OPS, has one homer to his credit. The next pitch misses low in the dirt, ball two. He is a catcher and first baseman on this roster. Plays a lot more first than he does anywhere else. As the next pitch is low, they're going to call it a strike. Smith is going to challenge. Call is upheld. It is strike two. Smith only 18 games to his credit. The next pitch misses well outside. Pushes the count full. 267, as we mentioned. Seven doubles, however, on the season, a triple and six RBIs. The 3-2 pitch. Fouled off. We'll do it again. As this next pitch is right down the pipe, strike three. Cardenas goes down looking. And there are quickly two gone for Rubel Cespedes. Rubel Cespedes comes into today. Brought up his average already. He's hitting .291 on the season. Hit his third home run of the year in his last AB as he shows bunt but pulls back in time for ball one. They've got a shift on him slightly towards the right-hand side. Challenge is upheld. The 1-0 pitch to Cespedes brushes him high and tight. He's not too happy about that one there. So 2-0 now Here's the pitch. Fastball catches the zone for a strike. Cespedes is going to turn and challenge. Call is upheld for a strike, so the Muscles are down to just one challenge left. Still no action in either bullpen. And Cespedes will foul that one off. Makes the count 2-2. Cespedes, a utility infielder out of Azua, Dominican Republic, as that one is fouled off into the Muscles bullpen as it fires off the overhang there in the walkway. Keeps the count at 2-2. Was signed as an international free agent back in 2019. Was assigned to the Mighty Muscles on June 3rd as the next pitch misses well outside, pushing the count full. Played with the DSL Twins in 2019, then the FCL Twins in 2021, and then has played with the Muscles here this year as he lines this one right back up the middle, and that'll get into center field for a base hit. Cespedes will take a big turnaround first, and he'll head back. It's a two-out single for Rubel Cespedes, and that brings up the shortstop, Daniel Osorio. So Daniel Osorio will step up in the plate. So far on the day, he's 0-1 with a strikeout. So Peralta gets his sign. Pitch. It's going to be lined out towards left field, and it's going to go over Bowen's head, and rounding third is Cespedes. He's going to head to the plate. There is going to be a throw, the throw to the plate, and it is cut off by the first baseman, Dixon. An RBI double for Daniel Osorio, and it puts the Muscles up 3-0. Cespedes was chugging around second and third all the way. First pitch that Osorio sees, he puts it into over the left fielder Bowen's head. And so now the Muscles lead 3-0, and that'll bring up Carlos Aguiar, the right fielder. First base coach Takashi Miyoshi heading over there to hand him his runner's guard. And he's got a load of gear in his hand. So first mound visit used by the Marauders. And so Carlos Aguiar, the left fielder, steps in. First pitch to him. Well in the dirt, good stop behind the plate by Hendrick. One run in already with two outs. Osorio stands on second base. As the Muscles, masquerading as the Miracle tonight, look to add on another. The pitch. Big off-speed pitch there. Cut on and missed by Aguiar. It is strike one. So one and one is the count now on Aguiar. Aguiar, 255 on the season as this next pitch misses well inside. Count is 2-1. Peralta already over 60 pitches so far through three and two-thirds. He gets his sign, kicks, deals. This one is towering fly ball hit right over into right field. Dixon comes over to get it, and he'll call off Campagna and make the catch. Daniel Osorio's two-out double scores Rubel Cespedes, and it puts the Muscles up 3-0. We'll head to the top of the fifth inning. Your Muscles lead 3-0.
Hooked on Mighty Muscle Baseball?
Yeah!
There's no better value than to buy in bulk.
Woo-hoo!
Save bundles of money on tickets and parking by purchasing Mighty Muscle season tickets or the Always Flexible Voucher Plans. Voucher plans start at just $96 for six games and include parking and six hot dog and soda vouchers. Or get the half-season plan to attend Thursday through Saturday games. That's 33 games with free parking for just $230. If you're a diehard, purchase a full-season ticket plan for $330. Full-season tickets come with $100 of Mighty Muscle money, a Meet the Team event, free parking, and a bus trip to an away game. That's a $1,300 value for just $330. To purchase your plan today, call 239-768-4210 or email sales@mightymuscles.com.
Keep in touch. Mighty Muscles Baseball is on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Mighty Muscles. And total team info is on the web at mightymuscles.com.
This is Muscles third baseman Keone Cavaco, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Muscles masquerading as the Miracle, leading 3-0 here in the top of the fifth inning as Wyatt Hendry digs in. It'll be Wyatt Hendry, Bubba Chandler, and Escoto do up as Jordan Carr goes out for his fifth inning of work. First pitch misses outside for ball one. Carr so far has faced just one over the minimum. Been pretty efficient, 3 strikeouts through 4. As the next pitch into Hendry is lined down the left field line, and it'll go foul off the netting in front of the Muscles bullpen. Muscles tonight in the Miracle Alternate Baby Blues, with the Miracle written across the chest in red lettering. Red and white on the sleeves as well as around the collar. Navy caps with the M with the tree on it, and white pants and an array of spikes and accessories. As this next pitch is in the dirt, low for ball two.
Aiden, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you know the name of the Miracle mascot?
Sway, the tree.
Very good. You mentioned the tree, and people might be a little confused, but the palm tree was the main focal point of the logo back before the pandemic.
As this next pitch is fouled off there, it'll bring the count to 2-2.
And another thing that people don't realize about the name change, it actually happened before the pandemic. It was announced in the fall of 2019.
And the 2-2 pitch. Curveball gets him. Beautiful pitch there by Jordan Carr. Hendry is going to challenge, however. And we're waiting to get a call as the umpire taps his head for a second time, and the call is overturned. It's a ball. That was a beautiful curveball there that I thought caught the zone, but it looks like just missed a tad bit inside. And Wyatt Hendry, a catcher, obviously could tell.
It's unpredictable sometimes, these challenge reviews. They're all borderline pitches.
The 3-2 pitch, it's going to be lined over to Ozoria and just past his glove and into left field for a base hit. So the challenge works out in Hendry's favor. It's a no-out base hit there, only the second hit given up by Carr, and that'll bring up the two-way player in Bubba Chandler.
And that was a big turnaround for Hendry. A strikeout turns into a single. So that is an example of the new rules affecting the results.
Hendry is going to get his lead off first base. A pretty sizable lead against a left-handed pitcher. First pitch from Carter Chandler. Catches the outside corner of the zone for strike one. And you can see Chandler there just sort of shrugged a little bit, like, eh, maybe I should have challenged that, maybe I'm not. And that's, with him being a relatively new call-up, that's a new thing he has to adjust to because it's not in the FCL. Throw over to first, nothing doing there.
My general school of thought on the challenges, and Brian Meyer doesn't set any rules for these guys. They can challenge whenever they want. Just he wants them to use some discretion. I would really wait until the later innings.
The pitch is going to be grounded over to Ozoria. He's going to flip on to Cespedes. Cespedes throws down to first and in time. They get Chandler, who's a good runner, going down the line. So that single doesn't do much. It's a 6-4-3 double play. And there are two down for Mikael Escoto.
Yeah, Carr extremely efficient. He could go six if they really wanted him to, only at 50 pitches at the moment. But I would tend to play a conservative first and second time through the order with my challenges as an offense, and then use it when it really matters.
As bunt is shown, but that pitch is well inside there for ball one.
I think I would only use the challenges if it was a strikeout or a walk, or there was a result on the pitch. If it's just a ball or a strike to bring the count to 1-0 or 2-1, I'd probably wait.
That one is lined off the middle, hits off of Carr's glove. Cespedes is going to make a quick play, and they get him. Great job by Rubel Cespedes off of Jordan Carr's glove. Great heads-up play as he was moving towards second base. Good stretch there by LaRon Smith. So an unconventional 1-2-3 inning, and the Muscles continue to keep their lead at 3-0. We head to the bottom half of the fifth. Muscles lead 3-0.
Back to the ball game.
Yeah! Take your age 14 and under child to Hammond Stadium with a special package just for them. The Muscle Sprouts Kids Club comes with a ticket to every Sunday home game, t-shirt, and giveaways, admission to bounce houses and other entertainment, and a chance to bring Muscle Man to their school. Muscle Sprouts packages are only $33 per child and $16.50 for each additional child. Call Austin Dutton at 239-533-7663 to join today.
Hammond Stadium's newest neighbors are bringing Coldwater Seafood to the next level. Introducing Coldwater Oyster Market, the area's newest sports bar with 44 taps, 24 HD TVs, and the freshest seafood in town. Pick from a wide selection of fresh oysters, lobster rolls, mussels, crab cakes, and more. Better yet, bring your Muscles game ticket to Coldwater for a free cup of award-winning New England clam chowder or Scotty's Mighty Muscles Blonde Ale. That's Coldwater Oyster Market, located on 6 Mile Cypress, just 2 miles south of Hammond Stadium.
Listening to Muscles Baseball Live on the home of the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
9-1-2 due up for the Muscles here as Nelson Roberto digs in against Peralta. First pitch to him is big, cut and a miss there for strike one. A little bit of action up in the Bradenton bullpen right now. Looks like a right-hander starts to warm out there. Muscles bullpen still quiet as this one is lined out towards right field, looping over Dixon's head, and it's going to get off the Babcock Ranch sign. Roberto's going to dig into second, and he'll be in with a stand-up double.
There is that incredible power from Nelson Roberto. That was a low line drive. He was off balance, reaching for the pitch on the outer edge, and able to bang it about 360 feet to right field, the opposite direction. I thought for a chance that ball might get out of here. It hit halfway up that Babcock Ranch sign. So Roberto driving it nicely, and he is really starting to pick it up offensively.
Yeah, he is. As you mentioned, he was off balance. Imagine if he got the full part of that baseball. First pitch to Urbina is in there for strike one.
Oh, he had a home run last week against Tampa that went over the walkway in left center. That's 400-plus. So he's got significant power. It's just a matter of squaring the baseball up.
The next pitch to Urbina is going to be fouled off of himself, and he's grabbing that knee as that one fouled right off the knee.
They got him on the inside of the knee. But Roberto right now might be playing for his Muscles opportunities here because we've got draft picks coming as early as tomorrow, and you know, coming into the game batting 137, he would be on the hook to potentially go down to the FCL, where today two draft picks made their professional debuts, the first-rounder Brooks Lee and the late second-rounder Tanner Schobel. And so those guys, plus the other five or six college position players, will likely be debuting with the FCL team or the Muscles within the next couple of weeks.
Next pitch misses outside for ball one.
We were told that the Muscles will get somebody by the end of this series and possibly multiple somebodies by the time they head to Jupiter on Tuesday. So with the Muscles do have three open roster spots, but if they add two or three position players, somebody probably goes down to the FCL.
This next pitch is gonna miss inside to Urbina as he's running around there. So it's 2-2, and you got to think, you know, one thing the Twins didn't do is draft a lot of college outfield. They drafted a lot of middle infield talent at the college level, so maybe you might think that his spot is a little bit safer than some of the other guys, but with Mikey Perez going up, you're really looking for that fifth infielder, and Lee or Schobel could definitely fill that role as that pitch misses high.
Yeah, let's face it, with those guys' resumes, they would be impact players at this level, both of whom hit at an incredible rate in high-level Division I action this year. So both those guys, Lee and Schobel, would be really good for this level.
Next pitch misses low, and it's a walk to Urbina. So Urbina with a home run and a walk today, and that'll put two runners on with no out for Keone Cavaco, who has one of the hotter bats as of late.
Yeah, it's danger time right now for Peralta, who's already given up 8 hits in this game and facing the Muscles for a third trip through the order. So his day is nearing the end as Hendry comes out to give some signs. But we talked about it last night, Aiden. We talked about Lee and Schobel today, but last night I went through Ben Ross, Jarrell Ortega, Dalton Sheffield, Alex Sayer, the other guys who likely will play at some point between these two levels. And you could probably throw in some of the pitchers and the catchers, Andrew Cossetti, Nate Baez.
First pitch to Cavaco is low and in the dirt for ball one. Is the throwing is ramping up in the Bradenton bullpen.
Now, I don't suspect we'll see any pitchers till at least next week or maybe even later, but August 8th, which is in 4 days, all of these guys will then count against the Twins' 180 minor leaguers. Now, they cleared 7 minor league spots with those trades yesterday, so they don't have to make as many cuts as they initially thought they did. They made 3 or 4 cuts last week and then 7 open spots because of the trades yesterday. So the Twins, rather than having to release about 10 players, really only have to release maybe 3 to 5 now. But there will be a few more releases before Sunday. We don't think they'll be at this level, but you never know. There could be 1 or 2 guys sent packing to make room for those draft picks. But even if the pitchers don't actually get into games this week or next week, they'll still have to take up a roster spot.
For sure. The 1-0 pitch to Cavaco is line foul for strike one. And, you know, that's the interesting thing is that 180 cap is a hard cap. Mind you, that doesn't count the guys in your international complex in the Dominican Republic. Most teams have them there. But with that 180, that creates a lot of questions, and that's why the trade deadline is so helpful to have, that you can try and clear some of these spots for your draft guys before you have to make them official. As the 1-1 pitch is called a strike, Cavaco looking around like he was expecting it to be a ball, so it'll be 1-2.
Yeah, that was definitely low, but not going to burn a challenge, just in case.
So it's a 1-2 count now with no one out. Roberto with a double on second. A walk to Urbina has him on first. This is a real critical spot in this game here in the bottom of the fifth inning with a 3-0 Muscles lead. Peralta gets his sign. The pitch well inside, almost hits Cavaco. They're going to ask if he went around, and it's going to be a no swing, which was the right call. He just sort of fell to the ground.
Yeah, the bat did come forward. The Marauders dugout wanted the punch out, but that's the fair call by RG3, the base umpire, because he wasn't trying to swing at the ball. He was just trying to get out of the way of the ball.
The 2-2 pitch. They're going to call strike three, and Cavaco's going to challenge that one, as that looked well low and inside from up here.
It had a lot of downward movement, and it is called a strike.
And you could tell the displeasure on Cavaco's face there, so it's a strikeout looking, and that'll bring up another very hot hitter, or one who shows a lot of power, in Kalei Rosario.
But he's not going to face Peralta.
He is not going to face Peralta as manager Jonathan Johnston coming out, and that'll be the end of Peralta's day. So we'll tell you more about the new Marauders pitcher and give you the final line on Peralta when we come back. 3-0, Muscles lead, middle of the fifth.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.valleyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles roll into the second big week of our homestand welcoming the Bradenton Marauders to Hammond Stadium. We'll have all your favorite nights, 2 for Tuesday, Dollar Dog Wednesday, Ladies Night, and Bark in the Park. Thirsty Thursday, Fireworks Friday, Sunday Brunch, and Kids Club. Plus, drop into the team store for special pricing on all kinds of swag. Hometown Baseball is your best entertainment value in Southwest Florida with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Welcome back to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball Network. Is right-hander Kelvin Diesla is in as the first pitch bounces in front there to Rosario, and the throw over to third is not in time as that bounces off the glove there. So we'll wait and see what the official scoring on that is, but both runners advance and now put runners on second and third and eliminate any double play as Coletti Rosario is up in the box. Diesla comes into this game 1-0 with a 0 ERA at the Bradenton level. Pitched in one game, one inning, 19 pitches, had two walks in that, no strikeouts. Opponents didn't get a hit off of him, though. Runners on second and third in the 1-0 count. Second pitch to him, misses outside for ball two. Noah Cardenas is on the on-deck circle. He's 2-for-2 on the day. Still no action in the Muscles bullpen. Diesla comes set. The pitch, it's going to be fouled right in front for strike one. Diesla, 21 years old, 6'1", 70, out of the Dominican Republic. 2019 was signed by the Pittsburgh Pirates. International free agent, and then played all of 2019 in the Dominican Summer League to a 1.57 ERA across 23 innings, as this one is fouled off into the stands here along the first base side. It's going to bounce into the seats and go up to the 200 level. So 2-1 with a 1.57 ERA, and then 2021 pitched in 13 innings for the Pirates Black in the GCL. And then in the FCL this year, appeared in 10 games to a 3.38 ERA across 13 and a third. 2-2 count now on Rosario's. That one is well wide. Great pick behind the plate by Hendry. So the count now runs full. He comes set on the hill. The pitch. Well outside, and that'll load the bases for probably the most dangerous Muscles hitter right now in Noah Cardenas.
Yeah, Aiden, the Muscles have played so many close games here in the second half. They're 13-17. Things kind of, as they tend to do, balance out over the course of a long season. Muscles had the best record in one-run games in the league in the first half. And they're sub-500 in both one-run and two-run games so far in the second half. We haven't seen any blowouts on the winning side of things for the Muscles. That could change tonight.
That could, and this is a pivotal point, as the first pitch to Cardenas is down the middle for strike one.
In this game, it's only 3-0, but it feels like it's 5 or 6-0, and one more base hit, and it actually could be 5 or 6-0.
Cardenas digs in at the plate. The pitch from Diesla. Well outside. Hendry doing a great job behind the plate tonight of not allowing too many balls past him. Diesla, as we mentioned, has one appearance with Bradenton. That was back on July 6th. Then he was sent back down to the complex. This is his first time back up with Bradenton pitching for them since his most recent call-up, as that pitch misses low for ball two. 2-1. This is a count that favors Cardenas, who's already 2-for-2 with two singles on the day. Outfield playing relatively straight up, as well as the infield playing at double play depth, with Chang playing much closer to the cone of shame, as well as Dixon playing basically on the edge of the grass, a good 20, 30 feet off the bag as that next pitch misses outside, and it's 3-1, and you really don't want to walk in a run here if you're Diesla.
You never want to walk in a run. This has been a problem all year for Bradenton pitching. Very young and inconsistent staff.
3-1 pitch. It'll be a hitter's count here for Cardenas. The 3-1 misses well outside, so Cardenas gets an RBI on the walk. And that'll bring up Laron Smith, who's made hard contact in every single one of his at-bats so far today.
Yeah, Cardenas and most of these Muscles hitters are just not going to bail you out by chasing pitches. They have a great idea of the strike zone. Diesla wasn't even close on those last two, and that's a pretty easy RBI walk for Cardenas, who has now been on base all three times.
So that'll bring up another catcher in LaRon Smith, who's playing first base tonight. And a lot of these players for the Muscles have really good command of the strike zone, as you were mentioning, as there's another pitcher up in the Bradenton bullpen warming very, very quickly, as we see out there, as the first pitch misses low to Smith for ball one.
This is warming up a pitcher to avoid getting embarrassed here in this inning. 4-0 already, bases loaded, one out, and the Muscles being very patient.
The Muscles really looking to break this one open. The right-hander Diesla comes set on the hill. From the belt, kicks, deals. That one's going to be, catches the outside corner for strike one.
Now both these guys tonight, Peralta and Diesla, they're both hard throwers, 92 to 95, but inconsistent with hitting their spots.
Very inconsistent with hitting their spots is the pitch. Misses well outside. Another great stop by Hendry. Hendry really bailing out these Marauders pitchers tonight.
And he snapped a throw to third, and Urbina had to dive back in head first on what became a pretty close play. So Hendry showing off the arm, but still bases loaded.
Indeed he is. Urbina on third, Rosario on second, Cardenas on first, 4-0, Muscles lead. The next pitch is going to be lined out towards right field. It's going back towards the track at the wall, and the catch is made by Dixon, but Urbina will tag. He will score on the throw. The throw into second is not in time. LaRon Smith with a sack fly all the way to the wall, and that'll give the Muscles a 5-0 lead.
Yeah, missed a grand slam by about 5 to 10 feet. It was halfway up the warning track, and Cardenas really rolling the dice trying to get to second base. Would have ended the inning if he got thrown out there. Had to face plant into the front of the base. It was a good throw by Josiah Dixon, but Chang had to reach across the bag, and Noah barely got the hand in ahead of the tag at second. Run would have scored either way, but still would have ended the inning had he been thrown out.
That is true. The 2-for-2, Rubel Cespedes steps up now with a homer and a single as the first pitch catches the zone for strike one. Muscles already breaking it open a little bit with a 5-0 lead. Could really break it open here with runners on second and third. And Cespedes, another one of those hot hitters who's had some really good at-bats tonight. Diesel comes set on the hill, the 0-1. It's going to be line foul. Quickly, it's 0-2. Only one hit in this inning leading to runs scored. It was the leadoff double to start the inning from Nelson Roberto. As Diesla comes set, kicks and deals on the 0-2. Well outside, ball one.
And if you're Brian Meyer or hitting coach Ray Sierra, you absolutely love the way your team is manufacturing runs tonight. They've scored in four of their five offensive innings. Would they love a crooked number? Of course. But if you can put pressure on the opponent each and every inning, eventually the dam's going to break.
Time is called by Cespedes in the box, and you know what? You got to be happy with how your team is seeing these pitches. Not chasing anything really crazy out of the zone, really taking their time and waiting for their pitch, and some of these raw power guys are really showing. This next pitch is grounded over towards third base. Jerez going to make a running throw across the diamond, and he does. 5-3 goes that put out to end the damage, but two runs come across in that inning. Your Muscles lead 5-0. We head to the top of the sixth inning.
Your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles roll into the second big week of our homestand welcoming the Bradenton Marauders to Hammond Stadium. We'll have all your favorite nights, 2-for-Tuesday, Dollar Dog Wednesday, Ladies Night, and Bark in the Park. Thirsty Thursday, Fireworks Friday, Sunday Brunch, and Kids Club. Plus, drop into the team store for special pricing on all kinds of swag. Hometown Baseball is your best entertainment value in Southwest Florida with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Thank you. This is Muscles catcher Dylan Tatum, and you're listening to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Josiah Dixon, Brendan Dixon, and Sung-Chi Chang do up for the Marauders as Jordan Carr's coming out for his sixth inning of work as the Muscles bullpen looks like it's starting to get a little action going over there.
Yeah, plenty of options. I'm a little surprised Carr is pitching a sixth inning just because they need to get the bullpen some work. He has been remarkably efficient through five scoreless innings. This has been by far his best outing as a Muscle.
5-0 lead as the first pitch into Dixon misses outside for ball one. And, you know, if you're pitching coach Carlos Hernandez or Jared Gaynor, you got to be very happy with how your pitching staff is adjusting and how well they're pitching in this series in general. Next pitch is going to be grounded up the middle. Cespedes going to make a diving attempt, but it won't happen. Base hit there, only the third one given up by Carr.
Yeah, particularly happy because last week was a setback. They didn't pitch as well against Tampa. The Tarpons had a couple of three or four run wins in that series. So the team, which all year the Muscles have led the league in ERA, WHIP, and opponent's average, and they still do. They still are number one in all three categories. But you saw those numbers kind of come back to earth last week, and they're bouncing back nicely, pitching a really good series so far.
Brendan Dixon digs in as the first pitch misses outside for ball one.
And now there is a righty throwing in the bullpen. Carr trying to become the sixth Muscles pitcher to complete six innings this year.
The pitch home. Fouled off there for strike one. And
Marco Raya has done it once. David Festa has done it once. Travis Adams has done it once. Pearson Ohl has done it twice. And Mike Paredes has done it three times. Carr trying to add his name to that list right here.
Carr really settling in here for the Muscles, sort of starting in a hybrid reliever starter role, and now has really cemented himself in this starting rotation where it's seen a lot of guys either get called up or traded or moved around as that pitch is fouled off, so it's 1-2. And, you know, you're really happy to see that Carr is adjusting. And, you know, as a left-hander, 25 years old, we mentioned it earlier, his fastball doesn't have a whole lot of velocity, but some good cut and some good break on it. But his breaking pitches have really been the story of tonight.
Yeah, he's had great feel for everything in this game. That's how a guy who's 87-90 dominates a full season minor league lineup. But you got to give Jordan credit for how much he's improved between the ages of 24 and 25.
As the throw over, nothing doing there.
I mean, most guys that pitch 5 or 6 years in college, they ride off into the sunset. They get a normal business job, 9-to-5 desk job after they go through 5 years of college baseball. Maybe if they're lucky, they play a year or two of independent ball.
As this next pitch is swung and a miss, good strikeout there. It's only his fourth of the day. And now with one down, that'll bring up the only lefty in the lineup, Sung-Chi Chang.
And that was a perfect pitch right on the inside corner. But Carr gets the opportunity after a long college season to go pitch in independent ball. And for a 24-year-old independent ball, it's not easy to get a professional affiliated contract. I mean, you're already starting to get up there in years. They're generally looking for guys younger than that.
This one is roped foul just beyond the tarp out there in right field for strike one.
But last year, the year after the pandemic, guys were rusty. Guys were getting hurt left and right, especially on the pitching side. Twins had to sign maybe half a dozen to a dozen independent league pitchers just to get through the season, and Carr was one of those half dozen or so guys that they pulled out of indie ball.
As the next pitch is upstairs for ball one, and there's a good handful of them on this team.
Yeah, Malik Barrington was in that league, Jackson Hicks was in that league, but those guys are a little younger than Jordan. But the thing that Jordan is giving me flashbacks to right now
is this one is grounded right up the middle. Osorio makes the play, steps on first, throws over to first in time. A 6-3 double play there. A little unconventional with the new cone of shame. Jordan Carr gets through his sixth inning of work. We'll talk more about that when we come back here on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
There's no better way to let off some steam than axe throwing. But ever wish the party could come to you? Well, now it can. Introducing Chuck It Axes, the mobile axe throwing company that'll bring the party to your front yard, backyard, parking lot, or business. Chuck It offers one-on-one coaching for all ages and skill levels and is fully insured. To schedule your axe throwing party today, call 239-851-AXES or visit chuckitaxes.com. Life is short. Chuck It!
How do you follow the crack of the bat? With the boom of fireworks.
Friday night fireworks.
After every Friday evening home game, the lights go down and the fireworks go up into the Southwest Florida sky. Wrap up your evening at the ball game with the booms, bangs, and sparkles of a professional fireworks show after every Friday home game. One more way to have a family-friendly great time from your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
This is infielder Noah Miller, and you're listening to John Vitas on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Welcome back to the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network. Here is Daniel Ozoria, Carlos Aguiar, and Nelson Roberto do up for the Muscles, who have a 5-0 lead here in the bottom of the sixth inning. And to finish what we were talking about with Jordan Carr, who's thrown six dominant innings, you were mentioning a little resemblance he has, John?
Yeah, Aaron Rosick was on this team last year.
As the first pitch is going to be lined to the first baseman, Brendan Dixon. He's going to throw over to first in time to the new Bradenton pitcher, I should say, Carlos Lomeli, for out number one.
Last year, we mentioned all the independent league pickups. Muscles got a couple of guys from the same team, the Schaumburg Boomers. And Orlando Rodriguez, a righty, and Aaron Rosick, a lefty, came in around the same time of the year. I think it was the same week that they were both signed, and they both fit into the rotation seamlessly. But Rosick really impressed us. Now, Orlando was a righty 86-88. Rosick was a lefty 87-90, just like Carr. And by the end of the season, he had built up so much arm strength where he was more like 89-92 by the end of the year. But plus command and four or five pitches just like Carr. And we're starting to see the similar season trajectory for Carr that we saw with Rosick.
Aguiar's 1-0 attempt is grounded right out to the second baseman, Chang. And it's quickly two down here for the new pitcher, Carlos Lomeli. Lomeli comes into the season 3-4 with a 7.05 ERA on the season and 37 innings pitched. And, you know, Jordan Carr has been absolutely dominant tonight, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as the night goes on when we get his final line, as there's someone up in the bullpen for the Miracle, or the Muscles, however you decide to describe them this evening.
It's Anthony Escobar.
Anthony Escobar warming up is the first pitch to Roberto is low for ball one. Roberto 1-for-2 with a double and a run scored. And, you know, going over to some more baseball news, a few days ago we lost one of the most iconic baseball names in the game in Vin Scully, and really memorable calls across the board. And, you know, I think I can speak for myself as this one is grounded out towards the shortstop, Escoto. Escoto's going to throw on to first in time to get him. And, you know, for me as a younger guy, I didn't really get to hear many of his calls, and I think you can agree with this, John, but I got to really enjoy him towards the tail end of the time with the Dodgers. And, you know, one of the iconic lines, "It's time for Dodger baseball," was something I remember falling asleep almost every night.
Yeah, he was a legend, obviously, somebody that all broadcasters look up to, just a class act, and so many people have so many very fond memories of Vin, and I never got a chance to meet him. I did get a chance, obviously, to listen to some of his broadcasts over the final few years of his life in such a unique style, kind of a softer, slower storytelling style that you don't see much of anymore. You see so much more high energy, which I'm a fan of high energy, but you got to appreciate what he did for the game of baseball, for the Dodgers organization. And it's as a broadcaster, it's really neat to see the response to his death. So many people giving him tributes on social media, different TV networks, players giving tributes, and it's really cool that so many people around the sport have such an appreciation for a broadcaster, because that's really what we all aspire to. It's to make the major leagues, but it's to make an impact on a fan base, on a city, on a franchise, that you pour in enough years and people like you enough, and all of a sudden you're a Hall of Famer, you're a legend, you're someone people know. The money is great. The job is great. We're getting paid to call baseball. But when you can really connect with an organization and a team the way Vin did, that's what we're all really striving for.
We'll take a quick break here, and we'll come back with the top of the seventh inning.
Athenian Academy Charter School, the first Greek immersion charter school in the United States, is now in Fort Myers and open for enrollment for the upcoming school year. Athenian Academy is a tuition-free public school offering kindergarten through eighth grade with a brand new state-of-the-art building. Their certified teachers create excellence in education through a motivating, focused academic and language approach that includes Greek and Spanish taught daily. Located on Three Oaks Parkway, just south of San Carlos Boulevard, Athenian Academy Charter School. Come experience the difference.
This is Mighty Muscles outfielder Zach Huffins, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Welcome back to the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network. Muscles have a 5-0 lead. We'll send it back to John Vitas.
Thank you, Aiden. Great job as always, as Anthony Escobar deals the first pitch of the seventh, and the fastball is in for a strike. Muscles lead it 5-0. Looking to take the lead in this series. This is, of course, a 6-game series. Tied at 1 so far as the breaking ball is poured in for a strike. Escobar listed at 5'11", 230 from Caracas, Venezuela, 21 years old, signed all the way back in 2017. Here comes the 0-2, and the fastball stays high for ball one. But we kind of got cut short there a little bit on Vin Scully. I know, Aiden, you've done some research on him, and like we said, we both caught the very tail end of his extremely long career. That one's fouled off, but he goes way, way back into the baseball history.
I mean, he goes way back to the fact that in his first ever career game, I just found this fact, his first ever career game that he called Jackie Robinson was the cleanup hitter playing first base at that time for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and his last ever game featured right fielder Yasiel Puig in the cleanup hole. He has called games for Connie Mack, Tony La Russa. I mean, any name you can think of in Major League Baseball in the past 80 years, he's probably called a game involving.
It's so cool to see what he has experienced, you know, like you said, all the stadiums, all the teams, all the players he's encountered. I once pulled foul. I saw some really good clips of him telling stories. Did you see the Madison Bumgarner snake story?
Yes, that one's a great one. And, you know, also some funny fact about him, too. He's the youngest person ever to call a World Series game at age 25 years old.
I'm sure he didn't beat Joe Buck by too much. Joe started calling those pretty young, to the point where Joe Buck's in through, what, 25 or so World Series, and he's already given up the job. That one's rolled out to third. Cavaco gobbles it up and makes a strong throw to Smith to retire Jace Bowen for the first out of the seventh. It'll bring up Perez now for Bradenton. But the span of baseball history that he's covered is just remarkable. It's almost impossible to wrap your head around. You know, I got a chance, and I don't mean to change the subject too much, but at the end of this month, we're going to honor a new scout into the Southwest Florida Baseball Scouting Hall of Fame, which we have here at Hammond Stadium, as Jerez takes in the dirt for ball one. And this year's honoree is Joe McDonald. And I got a chance to sit down face-to-face with him to film an interview a few weeks ago. And, you know, he goes back to the Jackie Robinson days. His first professional baseball games were the 1940s Dodgers, as the breaking ball's in for a strike, 1-1, and ultimately worked for the 69 Mets, the 84 Cardinals that won the World Series, the 1-1, swinging a missed strike two, and then he worked for the Red Sox for 15 to 20 years when they won three World Series in the 2000s, and just talking to him, you get goosebumps listening to those guys talk. The 1-2 is low because you hear stories about these guys, you watch documentaries, you see old footage, you look at the history books, the records, Baseball Reference, you see the funny names and the old black and white headshots. The 2-2 is hit on the ground right side. Cespedes splashes to his left and makes the throw on target for the out. And then all of a sudden you sit face to face with a human being who actually saw those players with his own two eyes, and in Joe's case, sharp enough to remember tons of names and tons of stories and tell you all about those guys.
Yeah, those are some of the best moments. And, you know, you were mentioning Joe, and then as well going back to Vin Scully for a moment. Some of these tributes on there, you're seeing Hank Aaron's big home run to break Babe Ruth's record. You're seeing the Bill Buckner play. You're seeing Kirk Gibson. You're seeing everything under the sun. And I think what's monumental about all these guys is all these guys are so well known, so well recognized, and there are different tributes that happen when they end their careers. Like Vin Scully at the for the first at-bat of each player on the Dodgers in his last game at Chavez Ravine. They all tipped their helmet to him as he was finishing his intro for each player. So all these guys have so much history, and just to be able to sit with them and talk to them about it must be monumental and a surreal experience.
Fastball outside, 3-0 now on Campagna with the bases empty here in the seventh. And like I said in the previous inning, it's just that type of impact, that type of recognition and love is really what all broadcasters shoot for once they make the majors. Of course, our goal is to make the majors, and then after that, you try and connect with a fan base. That one is low. Ball four, Campagna is on, and it'll bring up Wyatt Hendry. But I think we are so fortunate that Vin lived to 94 years old and broadcasted until his 89th birthday, because so many celebrities and sports folks die young, unfortunately. And, you know, even the average age of death, 70s, 80s, you don't get the stories that we got from Vin in the final decade or so of his career, really able to put things in perspective, great interviews that he was able to do late in his life. And then finally, you know, probably didn't enjoy as much retirement as he deserved as the curveball's in for a strike. But he still got five or six good years of retirement before he passed away. He obviously chose to work until he was 89 years old and cut back a little bit on his schedule towards the end of his career. That one's down and away for a ball. But I just think we're so lucky that we got 94 years of Vin Scully.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who didn't need a color commentator with him on the broadcast, could sit there and tell a story without missing a play of the play-by-play. He is truly, I speak for myself in this, but in my rankings of the greatest baseball broadcasters of all time, he is probably number one, if not very close to it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with that. And I wasn't really even, didn't even know about him in my youth growing up on the East Coast. Escobar's fastball ties up Hendry there, strike two. But as I got older, it seemed, and you said it was the same thing for you, you start to see more on social media, hear people talk about him, and then, of course, in 2016 when he retired, it was a whole show that we got to enjoy. But the broadcaster who mentored me when I first started in the minor leagues 6 years ago was a diehard Vin Scully fan, so I feel like some of my style comes from Scott Kornberg, who's in Jacksonville, who idolized and worshipped the style of Vin Scully. So even though I didn't grow up listening to Vin, I feel like he's influenced my style a little bit. As Ozoria goes to second to end the inning. 6-4 on the fielder's choice. Hendry is put down. It's a scoreless inning for Escobar. And it's time to stretch here at Hammond Stadium. Muscles lead 5-0.
Nobody starts the day thinking they're going to finish it in the hospital, but personal injury happens, and having a strong advocate to represent you before an insurance company or the court is invaluable. Attorney Spencer Cordell is a criminal defense and personal injury lawyer. Spencer's main office is in Fort Myers, and he represents clients in traffic court and personal injury litigation from Port Charlotte to Naples. Initial consultations are free. Before you sign anything, reach out to the law office of Spencer Cordell, committed to serving Floridians with excellence.
You got a group? We got a group deal. Fort Myers Mighty Muscles group ticket packages include discounts and bennies for your family, friend group, church, team, or business. Call the Mighty Muscles business office today at 239-768-4210.
listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball. Here's the voice of the Muscles, John Vitas.
Misael Urbina takes a curveball for strike one. Carlos Lamelli back out for a second inning of relief. It'll be Cavaco and Rosario to follow. Just to wrap up the broadcaster talk, Aiden, I think, you know, hearing Vin Scully as the 0-1 is cranked out to deep left field again. Bowen back towards the wall. He looks up and it's off the top of the fence. Kierman back towards the grass. Urbina glides into second base with a leadoff double, and he missed a multi-home run game by a matter of inches.
Looks like he got almost all of that baseball in. Where the last one went out, this one didn't. Had a really nice swing on it, caught the off-speed pitch where he needed to, and it looks like Bowen was having a little trouble trying to find the ball, took almost a zigzag route out there, but a good job by Urbina to realize it and still get into second base safely.
Now it's Cavaco with a man in scoring position, nobody out, but hearing old broadcasters like Vince Scully and another guy I'll bring up that I was just blown away by how unusual but how enjoyable his style was Ted Leitner with the San Diego Padres, who recently retired. You have so many different styles, on, especially on radio. Now, on TV, you kind of have to cater to the replays, the graphics, your partner. I mean, the producer's really running the show. That one is outside ball one. But on radio, you know, there's a little more room for creativity. And I think hearing some of those older guys, it reminds you that you don't have to do it a certain way. And I think as Vin's career wore on, the 1-0 is looped out to shallow right. Dixon coming in, and he'll make the grab as that one hung up just long enough to retire Cavaco, and there's one down for Kalei Rosario. But it's a little bit of a shame to lose those older guys, because I think there's less variety with the newer age of broadcasting. I think, you know, with social media now and TikTok and all these other things that guys are doing, putting stuff on their stories, it's faster paced, it's louder, it's more in your face, and there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy a higher energy broadcast myself, but we're starting to lose some of those lower energy storytelling older guys, and I think it's a bit of a shame because, you know, on radio during the summer months like this, it's poetry.
It really is. And, you know, I've obviously grown up in the Tampa Bay area and listening to a broadcast. A team that does it really well is Dave Wills and Andy Freed in Tampa Bay. They have a great cadence between the two of them telling those stories, not allowing themselves to get too high energy but too low. They know when to come in. They know when not to. And there's just something about any team that can tell a job like poetry. The Mariners do a great job of it as well. There's something about it that just it makes you romantic about baseball, for lack of the cliche.
Rosario fouled that one back, 0-2 on him. Yeah, I agree. When you're driving in your car, or maybe you're going for a walk, or maybe you're laying in bed with your eyes closed trying to fall asleep, now, there is something a little more romantic about radio over TV. That one's outside ball one. Now, as someone who likes to scout players and learn guys on all different teams, see what they look like, I will always take TV over radio if I can. But there is something nice about just kind of closing your eyes, shutting your mind off, and just listening, that hopefully the folks tuned in to us feel the same way, because they're listening to a single-A baseball game on the radio. That one is low for ball two. But I do feel also, before you can continue, I feel like radio is the perfect foundation. You can go in any direction from there. If you can do minor league baseball on the radio, you can do anything. That one is crushed in the left field, a base hit. Bowen comes in to get it. Urbina will stop at third. It's a single for Rosario, and the Muscles have bookends at the corners with only one out.
Great job there. So hard hit that Urbina wasn't able to continue to go on to home because he had to pause for a moment to make sure Escoto didn't get that ball, but a great job there. You put runners on the corners for, as we mentioned, a very hot hitter in Noah Cardenas.
On base all three times tonight, a couple of singles and a walk. He's got an RBI and seen it real well tonight and facing Lomeli.
But when you mentioned that radio foundation, you know, I'm lucky enough, even though being a younger guy, I started in radio and continuing to do radio and growing up through it. And it's really interesting because, you know, there's only one team in this league, our counterparts in Bradenton tonight, who have the MILB TV package, which is becoming synonymous. But everyone has a radio broadcast available without the TV end, and you can really just listen. And minor league baseball has probably the best broadcasters out of any league anywhere.
That one's in for a strike, 1-1. You've got 120 teams, and at least 115 of them have some sort of a broadcast for at least their home games. So there's so many different guys. I encourage you, if you're on the MILB app right now, or if you're on MILB.com, as Cardenas takes down and away for ball two. And all the teams when they go on the road are strictly audio. Click a random team. Pick any team you want around the country, and I can almost guarantee you that broadcaster is going to be interesting. He's going to know his stuff, and he's going to have a unique style. You've got all different ages. I know the upper levels, you got guys in their 40s, 50s, 60s. We're down here in A-ball. It's more younger broadcasters. It's a nice mix. Sometimes you'll have a one-man booth, a two-man booth, a three-man booth. 2-1 is down and away ball three. There's plenty of female broadcasters across the minor leagues as well. And so it's just fun to listen to. At this time, between 7 and 10 p.m. on a night where it's mostly night games, so Friday night would be ideal, but a Thursday or a Saturday would work as well. As Cardenas takes another walk, as that one's low, and now the bases are loaded for Laron Smith. I encourage you to click on any random broadcast that's on the air between 7 and 10 p.m., and you'll enjoy it. There's a lot of interesting stuff. You'll learn a lot. Most of these guys are very well prepared for their games, and oftentimes the broadcasters are responsible for producing the game notes that go out to the media. So usually when we go on the road, there's no one else we need to talk to other than the other team's broadcaster, because they can totally catch you up on the opponent. As Smith fouls it back, strike one. And if you tune into major league games, you'll hear broadcasters every once in a while say, oh, our good friend over in the Diamondbacks booth told us this, or, you know, the writer that we love to run into over in this city told us this. And so, you know, the media up here in the booth, we can be a little opinionated, we can be a little grouchy at times, but there's usually some really good information that goes back and forth at the beginning of a series. 0-1, and Laron takes the slider outside. So, again, here the Muscles with a chance to break the game open. They already lead 5-0, and have the bases loaded with only one out against Lamelli, who worked a 1-2-3 sixth inning but is having all kinds of issues here in the seventh. You've got Urbina at third, Rosario at second, as that one sinks low, ball two on Laron, and Cardenas over at first base as Lamelli calls Hendry out to have a conversation.
This is a real opportune time for the Muscles in Laron Smith as well. His last AB, that sack fly to right field that almost got out. It was probably about 5 feet shy of getting out. This is really where you need to crush down, figure out what you're doing here. It's a 2-1 count. You're going to get a hitter's pitch at some point in this AB. Find yourself a chance to do it. Get some hard contact on it and find the right barrel point of the ball. Anywhere in the outfield, you're scoring one, maybe even two, because all three runners on base are really good runners.
Here's the pitch. And it's a changeup at the knees for strike two. Laron, not so sure, shakes his head as the count goes to 2-2. He had a good approach last time, went the other way for a sack fly. And they're shaded the other way against him in the outfield. The 2-2 up high, missed badly with a fastball, and now it goes full. So there's nowhere to put him. Smith can drive in a run with a ball here. Also trying to do damage if it's a strike. Three balls, two strikes, only one out here in the bottom of the seventh. Lamelli steadies and deals. And it's down and away, ball four. Smith draws the walk, and the Muscles tack on another run. It's 6-0.
Great job there by Smith to wait for a pitch that he could handle. Didn't find it, allowed himself to walk there, and it's really going to give himself an opportunity here. Keep the line moving. Rubel Cespedes, another guy who's having a great day at the plate.
Cespedes with a home run and a single. He has scored two of the six Muscles runs. Trying to deliver the knockout punch. The pitch down and in for ball one. Cespedes parked one over the right field seats his first time. A single and a run in the fourth inning. Bases loaded, still only one out. The pitch is sliced over the screen, 1-1.
For a Thursday night crowd, the crowd's really getting into it here, especially with the Muscles having a chance to tack on even more.
Now, we had 1,100 here last night despite a two-hour rain delay. Now, not everybody stuck around for the whole game, but there was a decent crowd here despite the rain. Tonight we had better weather, so I think we're right around 1,100 again. 1-1 is lifted out to left. May or may not be deep enough. Tagging from third, Rosario. Bowen makes the catch. Rosario's going to try and score. Here comes the bouncing throw, and it's not in time. Rosario slides in feet first ahead of the throw. It's a sack fly for Rubel Cespedes, who drives in his 19th run of the year. And it's 7-0 Mighty Muscles.
A sack fly to left field is not something you see every day just because of you have to make sure you get back, and usually it's a shallower ball in that case. But now you're bringing up Daniel Ozoria. He's 1-for-2 on the day, and Ozoria is a fast runner, so if you can get something maybe on the ground or even that, he could beat it out and continue this rally for two big, powerful hitters behind him.
So Ozoria digs in, two on, two out. It's now 7-0 Mighty Muscles. Lomelli from the first base side of the rubber comes set and kicks the pitch, and the changeup hits the inside corner. Ozoria not happy with that call either. Lomelli about to throw his 30th pitch of this relief outing with a righty already on a mound in the bullpen behind him. Look at second. The pitch is grounded past first, a foul ball right over the coaching box as Yoshi makes the play, strike two.
I got to say, out of all the coaches in the Florida State League, I think the Muscles have the best hands on their base coaches making plays.
Yeah, Brian Meyer, Takashi Miyoshi, both former middle infielders, so they've got good hands over there. Brian's made a couple of really good pickups in this series. 0-2 on Ozoria, open stance from the left side. The pitch is low, ball one, try to change up there.
And Yoshi doing it with elbow guards and shin guards in the one hand as well.
Yeah, as soon as they get to first, they have to undress and give him all the leftovers. 1-2 on Daniel Ozoria. Muscles already up a 7 spot here in the home 7th inning. The pitch, curveball and a nasty one, freezes Ozoria for strike 3. As Lomelli finally gets his first strikeout on his 10th batter faced of the night. We head to the 8th. Muscles tack on 2 more. They lead 7-0.
Hooked on Mighty Muscle Baseball?
Yeah.
There's no better value than to buy in bulk.
Woo!
Save bundles of money on tickets and parking by purchasing Mighty Muscle season tickets or the always flexible voucher plans. Voucher plans start at just $96 for 6 games and include parking and 6 hot dog and soda vouchers. Or get the half-season plan to attend Thursday through Saturday games. That's 33 games with free parking for just $230. If you're a diehard, purchase a full-season ticket plan for $330. Full-season tickets come with $100 of Mighty Muscle money, a Meet the Team event, free parking, and a bus trip to an away game. That's a $1,300 value for just $330. To purchase your plan today, call 239-768-4210 or email sales@mightymuscles.com.
This is Muscles pitcher Jackson Hicks, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Second inning of relief for Anthony Escobar as we start the 8th inning. Bubba Chandler leads it off and bats left-handed for the first time tonight. Takes a fastball high for ball one. Escobar worked a hitless 7th inning, one walk, no strikeouts. The pitch in is just off the plate, 2-0. A lot of final scores already around the Florida State League. Blue Jays and Tigers already finished up a doubleheader. As that fastball sizzles outside ball 3. In game 1, the Tigers won 4-0. Smith, Reyes, and Holub combined on a 2-hit shutout over 7 innings. There's a strike from Anthony. Two for three with two RBIs was Roberto Campos of the Flying Tigers. That one clips the inside corner, and Chandler is going to challenge. I think he's going to win this one. They look upstairs, and it is a strike. So the Marauders lose one. It's a full count. Tigers get to 45 and 51. But the Blue Jays won game two of that doubleheader in Lakeland today as Chandler skies it a mile high over the Muscles dugout, coming over Cavaco near the railing, and he can't make the play. Lands behind him towards the camera well. I don't think there'll be an error on that, but that was a catchable ball. 3-2 Blue Jays in the nightcap. Gabriel Martinez was 2-for-4 with a home run. Top 30 prospect in the Toronto system. So those teams split the doubleheader. Coming into the day, Dunedin had closed the gap to just a game and a half behind Tampa for the playoff spot in the West. 3-2 is low. Missed with a curveball, and Chandler is aboard to start the eighth. It'll bring up Escoto. Ron comes over to have a chat with Mr. Escobar. So Dunedin holds serve with a split today, so they're still a game and a half back. The other team still in progress. Out of the stretch, the pitch is a fastball down the middle for a strike to Escoto. Daytona leads St. Lucie 5-2 in the top of the ninth inning at First Data Field. The Mets have out-hit the Tortugas 12-4, but Daytona leads. That one's dribbled. Third base side, going to be a tough play. Cavaco bare hands, and the throw is not in time. It's an infield single for Escoto, and the Marauders have two men on with nobody out, down seven. That game, probably the least important in terms of postseason standing. St. Lucie has already clinched their playoff spot, and Daytona is in last place in the East. As now Zoria comes over to chat with Escobar, gives Sam Perez a chance to get loose in the Muscles bullpen. In the battle for Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium, it's coming down to the final pitch. Cardinals led 3-0 going into the ninth. Jupiter has scored twice, and they've got the tying run at third with two outs. Those are our next two opponents. Muscles will play in Jupiter for 12 consecutive games, six against the Hammerheads and then six against the Cardinals. That was Baker with seven scoreless tonight for Palm Beach. First pitch to Josiah Dixon, nips the corner, strike one. There's a turn to second base. No throw, though. Next pitch is hit on the ground right side. That's going to get through the hole into right field. They'll hold the runner at third, Chandler, as the Marauders have loaded the bases with nobody out. The Tarpons, for some reason, having an off day today. They played a doubleheader with Clearwater yesterday, and then no game today, and then back to single games the next 3 days. Not sure what the reason for that is. But Bradenton could tie the division lead with a win tonight, but they're down 7-0. This would be their best opportunity. Brendan Dixon at the plate with the bases loaded and nobody out. The windup and the pitch. Fastball on the outside corner for a strike. So Josiah Dixon has two hits. And he leads at first, not being held on. 0-1 coming from Escobar. And it's rolled foul towards the Bradenton dugout. Strike two. So Dunedin will remain 1.5 back. And then Bradenton will be either tied or one game back, depending on how this one goes. So it's becoming a three-horse race now in the FSL West. Perez is about ready now in that left field bullpen. Here comes the 0-2. And it's fouled back. Good breaking ball, but Dixon stays alive. Muscles have scored in five of their seven offensive innings tonight. Bradenton, coming into this inning, had just three hits through seven innings. But here in the eighth, they've got them loaded. Another 0-2. And it's lined out to right center field. Long run out there for Roberto, and he makes a running catch. The front two runners tag, and the Marauders are on the board at 7-1. So a sac fly to make it 7-1 as Escoto goes to third. It'll bring up Chang. Brian Meyer on the top step, and here he comes. So Escobar will go an inning and a third. He allows one run and responsible for both base runners. We'll take a break here on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network. Fort Myers now up just six.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles roll into the second big week of our homestand welcoming the Bradenton Marauders to Hammond Stadium. We'll have all your favorite nights, Two for Tuesday, Dollar Dog Wednesday, Ladies Night, and Bark in the Park, Thirsty Thursday, Fireworks Friday, Sunday Brunch, and Kids Club. Plus, drop into the team store for special pricing on all kinds of swag. Hometown baseball is your best entertainment value in Southwest Florida with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
This is Muscles pitcher John Wilson, and you're listening to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Sam Perez now into the game, and his first pitch curveball spins in for a strike to Sungche Chang. Runners at the corners, one out for Bradenton, trailing 7-1 here in the eighth inning. Runner goes from first. It's a swing and a miss. Cardenas fakes the throw. So Dixon steals the base standing up, and it's second and third now. Second and third, one out, no force now at second. Here's the pitch, and it's tapped foul, another slow curveball. Sam Perez, softest tosser on the team, 83-85 on the fastball. But a terrific changeup that drops off the table at 77, and a curveball around the same mileage that's got a lot of movement. Here's the 0-2. And it's rolled foul. We asked Sam how he's so effective, and he said, I think that the other pitchers before me throw so hard that when I come in, hitters have a really hard time adjusting to my slower velocity. And I think that's very honest, and I think it's very true. 0-2 on Chang. Here's the pitch, and it's low. Ball one. Tried the curveball. ERA of 2.93 for Samuel Perez. His ERA entering the year was in the ones. He's always been effective, just never considered a prospect because of the lower velocity. Here comes the 1-2, and it's pulled foul. They did go final, by the way. The Cardinals hung on, stranding the tying run at third. to win 3-2 and extend their lead in the Eastern Division. So the Cardinals right now the favorites to face the Mets in the first round of the Eastern Finals. 1-2 in the dirt, skips behind Cardenas, and a run will score. Wild pitch brings in Escoto, and it's 7-2. Both of those runs charged to Escobar. And the count evens on Chang. Noah is so good back there. So is Tatum, for that matter. You know, Noah Cardenas doesn't have a single pass ball all year. That is incredible. Breaking ball fouled off again into the third base seats. Jackson Hicks already up behind Perez in the left field bullpen. Muscles are content to burn plenty of relievers tonight, although they do have likely a bullpen day tomorrow. Perez ready, the 2-2. Reached four and tapped out to second. That'll score a run. Cespedes charges, fields, and the quick flip is just in time. Chang really hustling. Picks up the RBI, but the Muscles get the out. So that closes the book. It's three runs charged to Escobar tonight. Perez gets the second out of the inning, and the bases are now empty for Jace Bowen. So the Marauders score on a sac fly, a wild pitch, and a ground out to make it 7-3 here in the eighth. First pitch to Bowen is a curveball low. So Escobar's ERA now up over 6. Hasn't hit 20 innings yet, so it's a low sample size, but after a solid start to the season, he has stumbled his last three or four outings. Three runs in an inning and a third tonight. Two hits, two walks, no strikeouts. Good changeup there, and Bowen's out in front 1-1. Perez delivers, and it's outside, ball two. Minnesota Twins drafted 9 pitchers in this year's draft, one of whom is yet to sign, so 8 pitchers is probably the final total from the draft class. That one's hit on the ground to shortstop, one hop right to Ozoria, comes up throwing, and he gets it there in time to end the inning. Marauders get 3 against Escobar. We head to the bottom of the 8th with Fort Myers now up 7-3.
After a car accident, you can feel like you've lost control. I'm Glenn Levine from the law offices of Anajar and Levine. Our team can help you understand your legal options after an accident. We will file your claim and fight for the full compensation you deserve. If you've been involved in a car accident, call the law offices of Anajar and Levine at 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733 for a free consultation. And take back control of your life.
Offices, Fort Myers and Naples.
Come on out to the ball game with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles tomorrow night. College students get in for only $5 with student ID. It's Miracle Throwback Night as the Mighty Muscles don the uniforms of the Fort Myers Miracle in tribute to their team legacy. And what would Thursday be if not Thirsty Thursday? It's the biggest party in town with $1 12-ounce cans and $2 drafts until the 7th inning. Thursday nights are a hit with your hometown Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Mikey Perez, and you're listening to the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Carlos Aguiar leads off the bottom of the eighth for the Muscles. Last chance to add some more runs as that one misses outside for a ball. Jack Hartman now into the game for Bradenton. Roberto and Urbina will follow. It's all the outfielders here in this inning. 1-0 from Hartman is a swing and a miss on a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. Hartman, 6'3", 205 pounds, from Peachtree City, Georgia. Drafted in the fourth round in 2020. That was the five-round draft. We saw him with this team last year as well. As that one's fouled back, strike two. Open stance for Aguiar, who is one of only two muscles tonight without a base hit. Takes one in the dirt there. 2-2. We'll take a look around the Twins system in this inning. A lot of baseball in progress right now. No hitter for the Worcester Red Sox tonight. As Aguiar swings and misses strike three. Good curveball from Hartman, and he got him. It's Roberto now. Minnesota Twins starting a weekend series with the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. It's a pitcher's duel so far. They're in the fifth inning. It's 1-0 Twins. Sonny Gray out-dueling Alec Manoah at the moment. Only two hits total in that game. So Sonny Gray pitching well. In a series that could be a preview of a postseason series. Toronto in wild card position right now as Roberto breaks his bat, grounds it past the mound, charging hard to shortstop Escoto. And Roberto is out for the second out. He stopped there to see where the bat head went because it went backwards instead of forward. Fortunately, it didn't hit anybody. And so it was a little slow getting out of the box. Two outs now for Urbina. Around the Twins organization, all of the teams in progress at the moment. Triple-A St. Paul, after getting a game-winning home run from Mikey Perez last night, getting shut out by Omaha 5-0 in the fourth inning. Nash Knight with a double in his first at-bat with St. Paul tonight. Got called up from Double-A today. Fastball in for a strike to Urbina. Mount Wallner has a double as well. But the Saints, after winning the first two of that series, trail 5-0. That was Jordan Belozovic getting roughed up again. That one's down and away. Double-A Wichita out to a 2-0 lead on San Antonio after they were shut out last night. Andrew Bechtold with his 14th home run of the year. The 1-1. Curveball drops in for a strike. And how about Junior Severino with an RBI double in his first Double-A at-bat? Four scoreless so far for Louis Varland. Wind surge up 2-0. Hartman delivers, and he got him up and in with a fastball. And the Muscles go quietly in the eighth. Leading by four, they'll look to close out a win when we come back. You're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Hooked on Mighty Muscle Baseball?
Yeah.
There's no better value than to buy in bulk.
Woo!
Save bundles of money on tickets and parking by purchasing Mighty Muscle season tickets or the Always Flexible Voucher Plans. Voucher plans start at just $96 for six games and include parking and six hot dog and soda vouchers. Or get the half-season plan to attend Thursday through Saturday games. That's 33 games with free parking for just $230. If you're a diehard, purchase a full season ticket plan for $330. Full season tickets come with $100 of Mighty Muscle money, a Meet the Team event, free parking, and a bus trip to an away game. That's a $1,300 value for just $330. To purchase your plan today, call 239-768-4210 or email sales@mightymuscles.com.
Thank you.
Mighty Muscles pitcher Jonathan Lavallee, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
In to close it out for the Muscles tonight is right-hander Jackson Hicks out of the UNC club team. Facing Jerez here in the ninth inning, Campagna and Hendry to follow. Muscles up 7-3. Hicks comes home, and the fastball is low. Three runs, five hits, no errors for Bradenton. Seven runs, 10 hits, no errors for the Muscles. The pitch is a fastball at the knee, strike one. Just to finish those Twins scores from around the system, High A Cedar Rapids currently tied at 3 with Beloit in the sixth inning. And a nasty slider by Hicks gets Jerez to swing and miss. Orlando Rodriguez got the spot start tonight. He's filling Cade Povich's spot in the rotation after Povich was traded yesterday. That one's grounded past third and wide of the bag, strike two. I should say 2 days ago. Rodriguez went 3 2/3, allowed just one run, struck out 6, so a solid job. And his start tonight, threw 51 pitches coming out of the pen to make the start. Derek Molina was good in relief, and now it's Bobby Malacky in a tie game in the sixth inning. Seth Gray has the only extra base hit for Cedar Rapids. That one's lifted out to right center, deep but playable. Roberto and Urbina come together, and Urbina will take charge deep in the alley to retire Jerez. So one away, and it'll bring up Campagna. We were just starting the game the last two nights at this time. We started at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, 9:10 yesterday. It's 9:15, and we're almost through nine innings. 7-3 Muscles, two outs away from taking the series lead. Right on right, the pitch. Fastball just missed away, ball one. Outfield deep and straight up against Sergio. Hicks delivers, and it's a strike at the knees. Jackson with an ERA in the upper twos this year. He's been excellent, especially of late. One of the more trusted guys right now in that Fort Myers pen. 1-1. Fastball drilled out to the gap in right center. That is down for a base hit. Urbina gets around it and spins the throw to second. The throw on target, the tag, and he is safe. Oh, that would have been an awful mistake if Campagna got thrown out there, down by 4. But it is a hustle double. That ball was cut off well before the warning track. So a real risky move to try it there. It'll be Hendry now. Seven o'clock start tomorrow night. It'll be a bullpen day for the Muscles unless they call somebody up from the FCL, but nobody's really stretched out to go more than 4 or so back there. I think it's just as likely we would see draft picks tomorrow as we would a new starting pitcher. So likely a bullpen day. Muscles burning 3 relievers after Carr tonight. Check swing on a slider, and Hendry went around, strike one. Muscles with a really strong showing tonight, trying to close it out. Bullpen hasn't been great, but two outs away from a win. That one's low. Offense has been terrific. 7 runs, 10 hits, 2 home runs for Fort Myers. They also have 6 walks. So a lot of base runners for the Muscles. Everybody got at least 4 plate appearances. The pitch is tapped foul behind home, strike two. Hicks has the more conservative stirrups on tonight. He's got the navy blue outer sock and just a little bit of white sock showing at the bottom. Changeup dives low there, 2-2. Muscles will have Wilson, Rimmel, and Barrington certainly available tomorrow. 2-2. Check swing. Did he go? And no is the call. Zaquiel Puentes will likely be available tomorrow also. So if it is a bullpen day, they would have 4 or 5 relievers available. Not sure if that would warrant a call-up to get one more in here. 3-2. And it's low. A walk from Hicks. Hendry is aboard, and it brings up Bubba Chandler. Marauders are one base runner away from bringing the tying run to the plate here in the ninth. Chandler, a strikeout, a double play, and a walk tonight, 0-2. Batting left-handed, he takes up high. 93 on the fastball from Hicks, but not a strike. And now Cardenas going to the mound to chat with Jackson. All coming into tonight, the Muscles rotation and the bullpen, I should say their starters and the bullpen statistically this year have thrown the exact same amount of innings. Both have thrown exactly 389 innings, and both have allowed exactly 135 earned runs, so a 3.12 ERA for both the starters and the relievers. But here in the dog days of the season, the bullpen has struggled a little bit more, the 1-0, and it's low for ball two. This is game number 95 tonight for Fort Myers. We've got 34 more after this one. Here's the 2-0 pitch, and it's low. 132 games starting the year on the schedule. We've lost three because of weather, so now a max of 129. Jackson behind 3-0. The pitch, and it's up and away, ball four. Close pitch, but didn't get the call. The bases are loaded. And the Marauders get the tying run to the plate here in the ninth with only one out. A lot of walks in this game tonight. That is the fourth walk issued by Muscles pitching. We mentioned the six walks from Bradenton pitching. And Carlos Hernandez now taking a slow walk out to the mound to talk to Hicks. I don't know if the Muscles would want to get another guy up, but Jackson's got to figure it out quickly. Remember, he closed out the win on Sunday against Tampa, but allowed some base traffic and almost gave up a game-winning home run to Anthony Garcia, a ball that was caught at the warning track.
And, you know, right here, Jackson Hicks needs to bear down. He's been in this situation before. He knows what he's doing. He can just relax, take a deep breath, and I think that's what, if you're pitching coach Carlos Hernandez, that's what you're telling him right now. He's got a great defense behind him. He knows his guys can work. It's okay to give up a run in this situation, but you've also got one out, bases juiced, roll a double play to your middle infielders, and it looks like the Muscles will get a little movement out there in their bullpen.
The guy's starting to scurry around now as Tatum sets up to catch somebody. It looks like Rimmel will be getting up. He was probably the leading candidate to start tomorrow. We'll see if that's still in the cards if he doesn't get into this game. But here we go. Bases loaded, one out. The pitch to Escoto is in the dirt, knocked down by Cardenas. That was a changeup, and Hicks has just lost the feel here. Got the leadoff man, but then a double and two walks have loaded the bases for Bradenton. 7-3, Muscles were in the nine. Rimmel now off the mound, getting ready in a hurry. Jackson delivers, and it's lined out to the right. That'll score a run. Roberto backs up, pulls up in front of the track, makes the catch, fires towards third base. Strong throw offline. Marauders score to make it 7-4, but are now down to their final out. So an out there was the key, and he got it.
Hey, he did exactly what he needed to do, allowed his defense to work. And getting that one out there is very important. And you know what? Kudos out there to Roberto. He showed off his strong arm out there. He's a really bigger guy, and he's got a lot of muscle on him. So showed off that big arm throwing it to third. And maybe if that throw was online, we could have been talking about a double play.
To end the game, potentially. Not sure why Hendry took that chance going second and third, but he did make it. Fastball at the knees to Josiah Dixon, strike one. Josiah is 2-for-3 in this game with a stolen base and a run scored. So trying to keep this game alive for Bradenton. Down 7-4 now in the ninth. Jackson deals, and it's high. The trail runner takes second base on defensive indifference. That takes the force away at second, but it's 1-1 on Josiah. Not sure if that distracted Jackson at all, but he missed very high. 1-1. Hicks from the stretch, kicks and deals. And it's lined out to center. Urbina backs up one step. He's there, and he makes the grab to end the ball game. So the Mighty Muscles able to close it out. Hicks allows a run in the ninth, but he gets three fly ball outs and strands a pair. One run, one hit, two men left in the ninth, and the Muscles win to take the series advantage. 2-1 for Myers now in the series. Your final score is 7-4. Muscles improve to 55-40, 14-17 in the second half. Marauders drop to 49-49, 20-13 in the second half. Tampa Tarpons on an off day get a little bit of help from Fort Myers. Now a full game clear of Bradenton and 1.5 clear of Dunedin in the very tight FSL Western Division. We'll do it all over again tomorrow, 7 o'clock. The first pitch time, 6:45 on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network for the pregame show. It'll be a bullpen day as of now for Fort Myers as the Marauders will turn to Valentin Linares, a right-handed pitcher, in game four of this six-game series. For everybody here at Hammond Stadium, I'm John Vitas saying good night as the Muscles win it by a final of 7-4.
Thanks for listening to Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball, worldwide on the Mighty Muscles Broadcast Network. This copyrighted broadcast is presented through the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated, for the private use of our audience. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, its descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.